Wrong is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? The Deals in the D.com studios featuring The Drew and Mike Show. After a few minor hiccups, as No Filter Sports did their show this morning, No Sweat.
Oh, that's what happened. Denny.
Yeah, Denny must have fed the board. And unfortunately, yeah, chocolate the board don't go too well. But I was making my way back from Chicago, and we had Katie Hamilton, Josh Hamilton's ex, which... They didn't say anything about asking questions about Josh, did they? Because that's a whole nother topic.
No, not at all.
Josh was the first baseball player picked in the, 2001 draft or something like that. I mean, he was one of these guys that was expected to be the
can't
next
miss.
Best. Yeah. Yeah, can't miss.
And 1999.
He couldn't miss, except that he had a little problem with, was it crack?
It eventually made its way to crack. And your start with crack? I don't know.
I think there was some alcohol mixed in there.
A lot of
problems. And Katie and Josh had four kids together.
She was with them the whole time.
Yeah, she was.
She got him, helped him get clean, and he relapsed.
He had a couple stumbles, but I would have thought if they made it that far, but they didn't. And so she, Katie Hamilton, his ex, who is quite beautiful, by the way, she is dating a 23-year-old friend of her daughter's.
Whoa.
Named Colton, who's an aspiring rapper.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
She's on Marrying Millions on Lifetime, and so we were supposed to talk to Katie, and we just got a little goofed up with a couple technical issues, and so she'll probably be calling in at some point. Yeah. And there's plenty more, too, but let me mention that Facebook will be brought to you by Mesa, Tequilas, and Tacos. Happy hour, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. If you're thirsty... They offer $4 fresh-squeezed traditional margaritas, $3 house wines, $2 well drinks, $1 rotating draft beers. And if you're hungry, try the $5 cheese nachos, $5 queso dip, $5 cheese or veggie quesadillas, and $2 tacos Americanas. Party your fajitas off at Mesa Tequila and Taco's famous happy hour. And every savory selection is made fresh each morning, from Mesa's signature sauce, salsa, and guac, to their homemade award-winning 8-hour stewed brisket. Mesa, between 3rd and 4th. In Royal Oak on Main Street.
Does drinking make you sweat?
That reminds me. The voice of Tom Mazzaway.
Yeah?
I have to come back to Mazzaway.
What do you have to do
we
now?
Did we talk about the
what did he get you into?
We talked about the Tigers game, didn't
Why
we?
Why he wouldn't go?
Yeah, because he was not dressed properly.
Yes, we did.
Which was exposed as a lie.
Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Another interesting topic to
The start of yesterday's Best Of. We covered that, And we did get the revelation that Tom's borrowing a car right now.
Yeah.
So he had to drive his daughter somewhere so he could borrow her car. So
that's
why we couldn't go assault the buffet. Okay, we've been through all that. I kind of forgotten what's on air and what's off air sometimes. So the Democratic debate is at the Fox Theater.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement in the air? The electricity?
No, it doesn't feel any different.
No, not at all. Everybody keeps doing stories on it, and it bores me to death.
It is boring, and I don't want to spend time on it. But Biden, I guess, has elongated his lead in the poll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 34 to 15 for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And is it Kamala? And then who's after that? Somebody's got 12?
I don't know. No, Bernie. What about Bernie?
Yeah, Bernie might be at 15, and then maybe it's Kamala Harris at 12. Did you hear about her great plan, though, for forgiving college loans?
I can only imagine.
Your mom goes to college.
It's got to be the worst thought-out thing I've ever heard presented. And I'm not really out to take out Kamala Harris. Is it Kamala or Kamala?
Is it like Kamala like Pamela?
Tomato, tomato.
Well.
Yeah, who cares?
Apple, orange.
Okay.
What's her college?
Edge.
loan. Let's see. I have to spell this. I have to say it out loud when I'm typing it.
Well, Sleepy Joe and Crazy Bernie.
I told you before, she was like a deer in headlights when it came to the one-payer system. When someone said, so does that mean the end of privatized health care? And she was just like, hamana, 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 kamala, kamala, kamala. She didn't know what to say.
Kamala. That's what happened.
It would
her
be
head.
The end to all privatized insurance.
Okay, let's see. Kamala Harris.
In Europe, they do both.
Kamala Harris is weirdly specific student debt forgiveness fiasco.
Okay.
She was pilloried this weekend after she announced what appeared to be a ridiculously specific plan for student loan debt forgiveness. Yesterday announced as president, I'll establish a student loan debt forgiveness program for Pell Grant recipients who start a business that operates for 3 years in disadvantaged communities.
Okay.
What's that, three people?
I was going to say, it's not going to be very many, but I like that. I mean, that's a nice plan.
Well, it's a nice plan, but how many people does it affect?
Very few.
I mean, like...
Well, that's a good plan. It just, I think people will think, oh, that's great, but it's not...
Okay, to be eligible...
It won't help that many people.
For what appears to be the Kamala Harris student loan forgiveness scheme...
I like incentives, though. I think incentives are generally a good thing.
Well, but is this incentive really realistic? To qualify, you need to be a Pell Grant recipient, a business owner successfully operating a shop for at least 3 years, operating in a disadvantaged community. That's a lot.
She's a goofus.
Plus, you're in debt out your ass. How are you going to have this business start up? What about people who don't have the money to start businesses? They can't.
Well,
somebody who has access to lots of money to start a business has a better chance of getting their loan forgiven after 3 years of their successful business when they probably have the money to pay it. If you got a business going for 3 years?
Yeah, but of course they...
Am I being too harsh?
No, I think three people might be aiming too high.
Yeah, the story I'm reading suggests that four people may qualify for this.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a bit... Like, this was all over the place. I'm like... Look at all the eyes that are reading this dumb plan. I mean, it just seemed like a real
Isn't it better than just flub. A blanket forgiveness of student loans?
Is it more realistic?
Is it worth spending time on? I mean, I feel like we've already exceeded. I mean, to get the chance the one of four people is in our audience and is excited, I feel like we've gone beyond the amount of time we should have spent on it.
It's because she said it. If Cory Booker said it, they would have just said, hey, who are you talking to? Go stare at that wall over there.
Hey, by the way,
this plan is so perfect,
John
it's
Bon Jovi.
Retarded.
Oh, I know, Bon Jovi. Why don't you just throw your money in the garbage, Bon Jovi?
He's doing a fundraiser for Cory Booker.
Bon Jovi is?
Bon Jovi!
Woo!
Yeah.
Will, is he still with, what's her name, Dawson?
Yeah.
He needs to heat that up. If he's going to burn up the polls at all, he's got to heat that up.
You know what? That's a really good plan for him. Why doesn't he start just like, why doesn't he release a sex tape with her? That'll probably help him.
Absolutely it would.
Especially if she's pegging him because, you know, female first power. Empowerment,
yeah. I like it. I'm all in. I'll watch it.
Gross. There needs to be another one, though, for the men out there where she's just blowing him.
Oh, well. God.
I read the Jeffrey Epstein book over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
God, really?
James Patterson version?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think Bill Clinton is mentioned in the entire book.
Really?
But James Patterson and Bill Clinton are buddies.
Yeah. Well, if he wrote it today, he'd probably mention because he was thrown out there on that stage when everybody's asking him those questions. Remember when Patterson and Bill went on that tour?
I just thought it was really odd because part of the book is about his power and his powerful friends, and yet there's no – maybe he is mentioned. I didn't see it if he is.
Did you know he went to the White House? While Clinton was in office?
Epstein did?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. Why don't we know that? Why don't I know that? I'm reading up on this guy all I can. Why would that not be known?
Clinton had dinner at his residence in 95.
Yeah.
Well, the people who have eaten at his home, I mean, Katie Couric, Woody Allen, by the way, always mentioned. Quite a few people we know, pretty well-known people. Chelsea Handler
went there.
Who?
George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, really?
Oh, Stephanopoulos. Yes, he was there, I think, when Chelsea Handler was there. And this is after he served his time for child molestation. And that story, by the way, just gets worse and worse and worse. There's apparently some Russian guy who, I guess he provides models.
Yeah.
And somehow he got connected with him. And then there were model search stuff going on at his New York residence after he got out of prison.
And the Victoria's Secret thing,
all these cute young girls.
I'm a scout for Victoria's Secret. Let me see where that bra.
I was going to Shanghai for modeling competition.
I feel
like he had ties with Victoria's Secret. That's where most of
Wexner.
Yeah.
No, I feel like we're just scratching the surface on him, and Brandon's prep. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us what you found out about Jeffrey Epstein, Brandon?
Well, it was discovered that he was the Bachelor of the Month in Cosmopolitan magazine. I'm not sure when this was. It had to be
1980.
Okay,
1980. Way to read your own prep.
I didn't see the year. I apologize for that. But
you just read the headline?
Sometimes.
You are the Twitter of the show.
Yeah, I know. It takes a lot to compile a lot of information. But he looks, you know,
back in
young.
Your face.
Wait, look at all this information over here I've compiled, and I've read it all.
Well, I got it. Anyway, he's got the dark hair, which is odd. You normally see him with the white hair, but he's pretty much soliciting young Texan girls to come see him.
Remember, he also said in there, he doesn't talk to you if you have under $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Before he moved to a billion.
That's in 1980, though. $1 million in 1980.
He looks like Travolta here.
He does, Trudy. You're absolutely right.
Wow. Speaking of Travolta, have you seen the new trailer for the movie he's in that Fred Durst is directing?
Where he's dressed like, or his hair is really weird, blonde hair with bangs.
Yeah, he's got.
It looks ridiculous.
He's got a mullet. He plays a stalker of a celebrity.
Fanatic?
Yeah, it actually looks pretty good.
Mm. That could be interesting.
The best Jeffrey Epstein story of the weekend, though, did you see? He tried to commit suicide?
Oh, yeah.
And that
that was over the weekend,
and
that's
that
right.
The jail guards laughed at him when they found him?
I'm not sure I believe that was a suicide attempt, though. I think he wants to get in the hospital instead of the jail. I mean, there's a lot of speculation. They thought this guy from the...
So he can hit up candy stripers?
Yeah, probably. There's a mafia guy in there, or a guy who murdered four people, or is alleged to have killed four people, who's in there. And they thought he did it. He tried to strangle him, but he says, no. He was injured, and he tried to help him, or he brought it to their attention. And it sounds to me like a fake suicide attempt. That's what I'm guessing.
They released the audio.
What is the audio?
Well, the guard came in with the audio. Here it is.
Thank you, Brandon. Hey.
What the hell are you doing?
Kicking my ass, do you mind?
Just whipped his own ass.
Wow.
Wait, how many movies has Jim Carrey fought himself in? Because this is at least two, Me, Myself, and Irene, and Liar, Liar.
Oh, he loves that bit.
Yeah,
that's
well, he's
right.
Good at it.
You know, physical humor,
like Tom Hanks
and the
Whizzing. And
there's only so many ways you can exhibit physical comedy.
Did you read the Radar Online story about the jail guards and Epstein?
I don't think I did.
Quotes from the source. Guards were heard laughing at him as he was sprawled out on the floor, either completely unconscious or close to it. They were laughing and reveling in the drama. They seemed to be getting a kick out of it. A witness claims
How can anybody be upset about something happening to this guy?
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel like it was fake. Like they were going, it's not a real suicide attempt. Witness claimed that he was blue in the face during the horrific incident. Source further alleged that the businessman's feet were blue and onlookers heard gurgling sounds, which is probably Epstein going,
stop. I think you're onto something there.
He's back in his cell. He's on 24/7 suicide. As staff tended to distress Epstein, guards flipped his body from being on his back to being face down on a stretcher. He was also handcuffed before being wheeled out.
Yeah!
So good for you, guards.
I wanted to mention that the Dog Days of Summer. Before we get to the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Oh, boy.
Dog Days of Summer are here, and that can only mean one thing. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is on fire with their summer clearance event. The all-new 2020 models are on their way, and our friends at Zot need to make some room. So it's time for the lowest of the low lease payments on your next new ride from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. If you've been waiting for the summer clearance event, the wait is over. Time to get your fresh new vehicle today. Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month, or a 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month. Then there's Ram trucks. How about leasing a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Big Horn Edition as low as $149 a month? And during the summer clearance event, the longer you wait, the fewer low-priced rides you'll have to choose from. So don't delay.
Yeah.
Surf there soon not to be massive inventory at Deals in the D.
Soon not to be massive.
Yes. Because people are stealing up the good deals.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to drive.
Hey, you snooze, you lose.
And Dr. Yaldo wants you to know LASIK is one of the safest surgeries in all medicine. It's changed the lives of millions of people by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without all that poor old technology. He is the most experienced and honored eye surgeon in Michigan. 30,000-plus people have gotten state-of-the-art custom LASIK, and most get better than 20/20 vision. It takes a few minutes. It's painless. You get to throw all those contacts and glasses in the garbage, And then if your problems are a little more serious, maybe it's the multifocal lens implants for people 45 plus. It forever frees you from your hated reading glasses. No more reading glasses, along with precision, far vision. You got nothing
to
lose.
That looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
You got nothing to lose by seeing Dr. Yala for a free evaluation. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway, and they've got those great frames and sunglasses to choose from. So get your script sunglasses, your script glasses, whatever. Just buy frames if you want them. Tell them Drew Mike sent you for an additional discount. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to yaldoeyecenter.com. And we appreciate people using our advertisers and keeping this thing humping along.
Yeah.
In the deals in the D.com studios, by the way, where the Hall Financial Hotline will be open.
Yes. Mm.
Because Katie Hamilton, I'm kind of, I wonder if she'll talk about Josh.
She's got to, right?
No. I think
all right, Hamilton.
I have a feeling she'll say something. I don't. It's probably not going to be her favorite topic. And I'm not trying to bum her out. I'm just kind of. It's kind of weird.
I loved him. He was great. He had a four-homer game. He was an MVP. Led the league
Josh
in RBI
Hamilton
for a year.
Had a talent.
40-plus homers.
He had all five tools.
That's right. He was five
Josh
tools.
Hamilton had a problem. He couldn't quite follow all the rules. And after he got drafted, he spent several years wasting away his gifts.
Aww.
By ingesting drugs and beer.
You know, Matt usually doesn't go dark.
And here we go. Katie Hamilton from Marrying Millions on Lifetime Wednesdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central. Or you can probably catch it on a replay somewhere on other days. Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great. We were talking about you at the beginning of the show and Josh's history. And I know you're not here to talk a lot about Josh, but we were all kind of surprised that after all you guys went through, and I know he had some problems recently, that it just somehow wasn't able to go the distance. Was it just like too much when things went south a second time or a third time or fifth time or sixth time?
If you think you were surprised, you have no idea how very much surprised I was, because, I mean, it caught me so off guard and came so far out of left field. You know, I really haven't talked publicly ever about the details of really what all went down and transpired during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I will at some point, but it is so much and so wild that if it hadn't happened to me personally, honestly, I don't think I would even believe it, because it is that wild. And that is just true. And considering everything that he and I had overcome, you know, in our marriage already, for me to say that, you know, it had to be just out of this world. It was bizarre. It was totally unnecessary. Uh-huh. And I would never have chosen the divorce ever. And it wasn't, you know, so much about Josh's relapse, but I just felt like, you know, because the start of our marriage was so tough and we powered through that, and I learned about forgiveness and with his subsequent relapses and being able to forgive, you know, for it to fall apart over why it did is truly the most devastating.
You're really arousing my curiosity, and I'm going to be reading when you do spill all this stuff.
Yeah.
I will be reading, but I did want to say one of the things we were talking about was, first of all, the amazement that it got this far, and also that he was able to abandon the sport for a couple of years and come back and be an all-star and be a superstar. And he was MVP, wasn't he?
He was, and I'll tell you, I mean, honestly, I was so surprised that even though we went to high school together, I'd never seen him play a game, never seen him. I knew him as a drug addict, ultimately, before I knew him as a baseball player.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He was sober when we dated, so I was very shocked by the drugs, for sure. I mean, I was pretty floored and couldn't believe that he was actually willing to just throw that away, you know, for drugs.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm glad that I didn't know the extent of his talent by any means, because I got to have surprise after surprise some good, some bad about our marriage. But the year that he won the MVP, I remember I really felt like the Lord told me to pray for that specifically. And I thought, you know, like, really, I should pray that he wins the MVP. Like, I don't care if he wins one, you know. But anyway, I prayed every morning for an entire hour in my closet, starting from the day we got to spring training all the way through that entire season. I don't think I missed one day.
You mean, wait, so were you praying, Katie, were you praying that he'd be MVP?
Yes, specifically. I mean, of course, you know, because that's what I felt like God wanted me to pray for. I mean, I prayed for a lot of stuff. But
wow.
That was
what else did you pray for that came true?
Yeah.
Did you pray for me to win the lottery or something?
No, she prayed for Colton.
I mean, God apparently listens to you.
You know, that this is what I've learned, though. When we kind of tune in to what the Lord's saying, and obviously my faith is a big part of my life, so, you know, this is my belief. I know it's not everybody's. But when we kind of tune in to hear what God is saying to us, he leads us as to what to pray for.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if he wanted on his own.
Then we're praying, you know, in alignment with his will. And then he gives us the desires of our heart. So he put that desire in me to pray for Josh, and I did. But, you know, when it all transpired and he actually won the MVP, you know, I was still shocked. You know what I mean? I was shocked every time I felt hit a home run.
Are you now praying that Colton has a number one hit as a rap star?
I haven't sort of planned for that just yet. I guess.
Well, come on, God.
I mean, but you know what? God hasn't put that on my heart yet to pray for that specifically. So if he does, then I will. Right now, I am praying that, you know, I raise my kids to the best of my ability. You know, I pray for wisdom every day. I pray, you know, that my kids grow up to love Jesus and love others. So that's really where my, you know, and that I can be a blessing. You know, I just don't want to wake up when I'm 80. This is part of the reason that I didn't want to get divorced. And think back and wonder, like, did I give it everything I had? Hmm. You know, did I fulfill the call that was on my life? You know, did I do it to the best of my ability? Period.
Okay.
Well, Katie, your children are successful, though, so that must mean you have done it miraculously through a lot of hardship to the best of your ability.
I'm still in the thick of raising the little one. You know, and my oldest, you know, of course, she's actually in Greece right now. She is really living her best life, I have to say. But I'm so glad she is doing well. I could not be more proud of all of my kids. And, you know, it's really just like a testament to God's grace, because I was a bit of a handful when I was a teenager and, you know, in my early years until I had my daughter, Julia. That's really when I finally started to figure out I better, you know, get my crap together, because it's not just me that I have to think about anymore.
Well, let me, just leaving prayers out of it and getting to what's going on, because the show is, it's an interesting show. I tend to go for reality shows. People go, oh, why watch that crap? But I don't know. I have fun watching it. And, you know, there's some other interesting couples on the show, too. In fact, the last time I saw it was the one where I don't know what this girl does. She's super loaded. She's got this giant mansion. She's dating a construction worker. And her friends say, you've never even been to his house. And then so she says, well, why haven't I been to your house? And he says, well, I live with my mom and dad. Which I thought was...
That's a very good impression.
Thank you.
I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. It's John T or something along
those
lines.
Something like that. She's really hot. She's got hot friends.
Yeah, she does. She's beautiful. She's not in real estate, which is actually what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I may end up getting something about it. But yeah, she met his name.
Whatever.
Terrible.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter. He's so gone.
She met her man on the construction site. You know,
did he catcall her?
You know, I don't know any of these couples, but I don't think I'm betting on them to make it. I mean, if they're one, I hope they do, of course. But, you know, I think she just has, you know, everything going for her. And, you know, who knows his story? Maybe he, you know, ran into some hard times. But if I was her, she just seems like such a go-getter. I would be thinking she needs somebody that can, you know, match her
yeah,
level of...
It is weird. I want to say this, Katie, about Colton is I would really not think after all you've been through that your daughter's friend, which is another issue entirely, and he's 23. He's 15 years younger. Yeah, I know you're past it. And he seems like a good guy, but I would just, he seems not at your maturity level or even close. But I'm, you know, I'm just watching the show, so I don't know.
So I will tell you a few things. One, in the show, it really comes across like I'm dating my daughter's best friend. And they are friends. But Colton and I actually got to know each other before Julia and Colton got to know each other. Oh. He and I sat together at a restaurant, like the first day we all met. And he and I kind of hit it off and started talking. Now, he and Julia definitely formed a friendship in those weeks that followed. But I will tell you, just in experiencing this, Julia was definitely more frustrated, angry, confused, whatever. You know, you can see her level of displeasure on the show. More at the fact that she had just broken up with her boyfriend for 4 years, and her mom was now dating somebody after not dating anyone, you know, in 4 years. And she really did struggle with that. So,
well, and he's close to her age, too. So, and you're beautiful. And I can imagine there's a zillion guys that would just kill to be with you. And I would never pick that guy. But it's up to you. I mean, I'm not with him.
I'll tell you why he kind of sparked my interest.
Okay.
The night we met, he was not drinking alcohol. I asked him, like, why are you drinking water? Are you sober? Are you the DD? Like, what's up? He said, I was adopted. My mom was an addict. He said, I've never drank a drop of alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette, blah, blah, blah. So you can imagine immediately, like, that's going to be appealing to me, having, you know, gone through what I've gone through. And also the fact that he was so transparent with his childhood and all of that stuff intrigued me about him also. I had a lot of respect for that he was comfortable with himself. But the third thing that's really got me to consider, like, seriously dating him was the fact that he was just so kind. And I always said, you know, God forbid something happened to my marriage or my husband, like, I will look for someone, if I ever date again, with a kind heart. I'm not trying to, you know, speak negatively about my past relationships, including Josh. But, you know, it is one thing that I don't really feel like I ever truly experienced in past relationships. And at least not to the level that I would want, or I would want for my kids. So the fact that Colton just was so kind, you know, he's somebody that I feel like, if my kids see me dating someone, yeah, his age is a little... You know, I was bummed out when I found out how old he was because I'd already kind of started liking him at that point.
Regarding the age difference, what has something popped up that you're just like, how do you not remember that? Like, I mean, because he's got to have no memory of September 11th, but you probably have a lot of memory. You know, just big events like that. Is there
I was in middle school. September 11th. You know, I will tell you one thing about Colton that would surprise you that, I mean, I don't know how much this matters in the grand scheme regarding your question, but the things that he remembers from age 5 and under are actually remarkable because he kept his little baby sister alive, you know, like she was 6 months old and he was 5. He remembers so much about his, like, time before he was adopted.
Well, what about, you know, like, popular culture, like things that, you know, back in my day kind of stuff?
So this is something else.
He doesn't remember Josh's rookie year.
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't want to.
He probably doesn't want to. He was actually a fan of Josh's.
Does he have an autograph of Josh?
No, not anymore. You know, and of course they've met and everything, but one thing I love about his parents how, or I guess I should say how they raised him, is his dad made him watch all, like, the good classic movies that I grew up watching, even though his parents are a lot older than me. Colton and I are like, oh, yeah, remember this, remember that. Like, stupid, you know, movies that we like. But Julia's like, what? You know, like, we've got to go Ace Ventura or just silly stuff. So I was like, wow, it's just amazing how many things that you and I remember and, like, appreciate that Julia does it, and you're only 5 years apart. He's like, yeah, well, that's my parents. He's like, Katie, they made me watch.
Katie, here's the really hard question. Does he want kids?
Okay. I asked him this also. I asked him if he wanted kids, biological or otherwise, and he said he had never considered really having his own biological children, but he does want to adopt because he was adopted and his father was adopted. That's something important to him.
That sounds like a match made in heaven from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Because you probably don't want to birth any more kids, I wouldn't think.
No, I do not. I do not. I gave natural four times, and I that's a new. It's a no for me.
Yeah. Good answer.
And I who knows what's going to happen in the future? I can tell you that Colton is a really, really, he's a great guy. This is my first experience dating since I've been divorced. It's different, obviously for a lot of reasons, not just our age and not just the fact that, you know, like we got on, it's just wildly the timing for this television show for us to be asked to be on it, or for me to be asked to be on it and to be in a situation that the first time I was dating somebody, you know, since my divorce, it seemed too coincidental almost to say no to it. You know, but there are a lot of challenges with dating, with, you know, with kids.
Well, yeah, I think you would date a few people before you would, you know, really decide to move on. But, you know, we just have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to know, first of all, does Josh dating? Does he have a girlfriend?
So Josh actually got married and divorced. He was married for 3 months. Which is part of, like, you know, one day I'm going to share it, but
it was 25 hours of podcast.
So he's been divorced now for like almost 2 years.
Were you jealous, by the way, or was that so over at that point? Okay. Is he jealous of this dude?
Yeah. He doesn't like me dating. I mean, he doesn't like me dating ever. He's never going to like that. Whether he'll admit it or not, I don't know. I can read Josh on.
That's weird.
Yes, please try to get Josh on.
Katie, you've been so busy selling us on.
He is dating, but I don't think he's. In fact, I know for a fact he's not serious about whoever he's dating now.
Okay.
It's more of like a convenience type of thing.
Marrying Millions is on Lifetime, 10 o'clock, 9 central, and there's a lot of fun shows around these days. I've been watching 90 Day Fiancé, Marrying Millions.
Been watching all of them,
Yeah, there's some good reality TV there. And Marrying Millions, I got to say, the 60-year-old with a 21-year-old, that is just so weird to me, Katie. There's no way, is there?
Not for me. I mean, it would be a no for me.
What's wrong with her?
She is so beautiful.
She's hot.
She's just very young. She is hot. I think she's young. I actually have a lot of compassion for her. And, you know,
get rid of that guy, though. He's old. He's like 60 going on 80.
He's an old 60.
I mean, maybe he's very nice. I don't know. It would be a no for me for him, for sure.
His world is just so boring. To a 21-year-old, I would think his whole world of philanthropy and all that would be so dreadfully boring. And I know that she's not really attending a lot of that stuff.
I think maybe she's intrigued, or maybe the fact that he was into her made her feel special or made her feel noticed or seen.
A lot of people could do that.
Well, now a lot of people are going to see her.
A lot of us get sucked in that way, too. by somebody just paying attention to us.
Oh, really?
She could get attention from so many people. I always say when I see something, I go, well, what's wrong with a 40-year-old? There's 40-year-old millionaires who would love her like crazy. But
so, you know, I do have to say before we close this out, because I know I'm sure we're almost out of time, I did not know that the show was all about, you know, or a lot about the money. I thought it was about more about people in relationships in different seasons of life. So when I heard the name, I was like, oh, no. But, you know, we were already, I mean, we had already filmed the film. And, you know, it is a clever name, but I've just never been one to, like, want to chat it up about, you know, sex, cash, all, you know, in. So it was that part of it was a stretch for me for sure.
Katie, is Colton making money? Is he productive?
You know, he's very driven.
That's not the question.
Okay, I will say that he is making money.
He is. Not off rap music.
Not enough, though.
Maybe not for him. It's probably not enough for him. I'm good where I'm at. I do a lot of investments, and you know, money for me is a tool. I can help people. I can bless people. I have a lot of interest, and so I have my hand in lots of different things.
Oh, Katie, you're hot without the money. You're smoking hot without the money.
Oh, thank you.
You are.
I appreciate that.
I mean it. Wow, those eyes, and your daughter too. Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know. I've got my hands full with those. I'm four of them. You know what? But I tell them, like, you got to be pretty on the inside. That's truly where it counts. Mm-hmm. You know, because looks fade, money comes and goes, but your character is what is lasting. And I do want to leave a legacy for my daughters that they could be proud of.
We truly are.
Katie, good luck with the show. It's fun to watch, and maybe we'll talk again sometime when you're ready to spill.
Thank you. Stay tuned. There's lots of drama coming up.
So all right, cool.
All right.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for calling us back.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye, Katie.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Katie Hamilton, marrying millions. She is really pretty.
Yeah, she looks pretty. I mean, I can't get any images on my stupid
and
computer.
God is a Texas Rangers fan. Is that when he won the MVP? Was it the Rangers?
I don't know if I'd tell that story that she prayed for him to be MVP every day. Hey. That sounds really.
Well, it worked.
It was very specific,
it
worked.
I thought Josh played really well.
Well, yeah, because God wanted him to win.
You know what I wanted
she's
to ask
very
her,
nice.
But I didn't. No, she's really sweet, and she's nice on the show. I wanted to ask
God's
her.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
Is it possible she shaved a couple years off her age?
37?
Yeah.
How old is Josh?
Not that she doesn't look 37. I don't know how old is Josh. Josh has been out of baseball a couple years, maybe more than a couple.
Let's see, Josh Hamilton is 38.
Okay,
I guess that's about right.
She could be 37, well,
unless they're both shaving years off.
I just can't believe.
Although he's not a Dominican baseball player,
isn't it weird how quickly Josh's career ended?
Yes, very much so.
I thought that was very strange, and now we know some other stuff. I wonder what this wild story. What could have happened to Josh Hamilton that was so wild and far out? I mean, okay, fell off the wagon.
Well,
I mean, wild stuff can happen from there. We know that. I think he liked strip clubs, by the way, when he was fucked up.
Well, yeah, he did.
If you think about the marriage only lasting 3 months.
The second one.
And then she was, the second one. And didn't she kind of say something to the effect of, well, when you find out the rest of the story, then you'll understand.
Yeah, obviously that story goes together.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, there's Josh song number two.
So that made me think, totally recklessly,
yes,
of sexual dysfunction of some sort.
Irresponsible speculation. It's kind of what I thought. Cheating. Yeah.
Oh, he cheated on her.
Oh.
While he was on, like, while he was messed up.
What, his wiener doesn't work? What does that mean?
He was hammered and he couldn't get it up for Katie?
For the second.
Oh, the second marriage?
It's a reckless speculation.
That is in the reckless speculation category.
It's to be over in 3 months if he didn't fall off the wagon again. Josh Hamilton.
Well, no, I think that's just one of those things where after 3 months it's not as exciting anymore.
I guess. Well, yeah, maybe that's it. Hamilton. Blushes off the rose.
He's leading his Rangers all the way to the top.
possessed him.
Josh Hamilton. Ooh, great drop. Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton. Yeah. Hamilton? What's that all about?
Hamilton. Josh Hamilton.
All right. Yeah, that story, I felt like I was reading about Josh when I saw the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should know more about this story. Like, there's nothing we don't know now. It's weird. It's like anybody who comes along who's famous, I just think, well, I'm going to see them nude at some point, and I'm going to know everything about them in the meantime.
Is there some kind of non-disclosure from the divorce that they can't talk about it for X amount of years? I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds ugly. It sounds very bad. So, okay, Merry Millions, there you go. And that reminds me, because we were talking about Josh a bit, and it's not a sports podcast, but I thought, is it John Wisely that did the story about Malik McDowell?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a fantastic story.
Yeah, and the Freep.
Yeah.
Did you watch the video that went along with it on the freep.com? Him riding in the cruiser handcuffed, talking to the Michigan State police trooper.
Oh, when he's telling him, you'll never make as much money as I make in a day or something?
No.
That was at the police station. He's telling somebody, hey bitch, I'm set for life and you'll be working for the next 50 years or something.
This was a very coherent conversation. And he's sitting in the front seat, which I thought was kind of weird.
What are they talking about?
What happened to him.
Oh, when he got the DUI for .12?
Yeah, and he's talking about how, the trooper's like, why'd the Lions draft you?
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I was supposed to be a number one draft pick, and then he goes on, and he blames the coaches at Michigan State, which is...
I saw that in the story, and I thought that was so embarrassing. I can't believe you repeat that. That's what his mother said before he went there. They don't send anybody to the NFL. Well, okay, first of all, he was supposed to be a top five pick. Yeah. He was a slacker ass his junior year. He never lived up to his potential there. He was nothing but unrealized talent.
Thank you. To that point, and the whole theme of the article is how once he had the ATV crash with the concussion, he hasn't been the same person. But didn't the troubles really start at Michigan State when all his mentors left and he kind of became lazy ass?
That's been suggested. He sounds like a really buttoned up guy. From his teammates, who kind of suggest that they don't really know him, so that he doesn't say much.
Back to that video, which somebody needs to give this state trooper a radio show or a podcast, because he was asking great questions. But he got Malik to basically admit that he was homesick, and he just didn't fit in there, and he was homesick. I'm homesick. East Lansing's not that far away. And then
his mother didn't want him anywhere near his friends.
And then the trooper goes, "Why don't you go to Michigan?" Great question. And
by the way, how hard did Michigan recruit him?
Pretty hard.
They did, okay.
But he, like he said, he, quote, wasn't feeling it. He just when he went there, he didn't get along with the coaches.
In Malik McDowell speak, what does that mean exactly?
I don't know. I don't know what that meant. He just, I guess maybe you get there and you don't like the attitude of the coaches or the players, doesn't jive with you or... it could be a bunch of things.
Well, I have to say
maybe they wouldn't give him any money on the side. What?
Not feeling the love?
Not feeling the Bagman?
Benjamin?
I don't know why. Yeah,
exactly, Trudy.
I feel this way. And I don't know.
Thanks for listening, by the way. I thought you checked out.
No.
Is there an allegation that he took money? Because I didn't know that if he did.
There was, but I don't think it's very founded in much.
Yeah, his mother, I know, was very adamant that he did not. I'd love to talk to her again.
Joya,
yeah. We had our famous interview with her.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
She was, and you know what? She was a better interview than I thought she would be. She wasn't emotional. She wasn't an emotional maniac. She seemed like she genuinely cared about her son. The problem was somebody stuck it in the parents' heads and his head, probably when he was 13, that he's going to the NFL.
You got it.
And to focus on that for a young kid, even though he made it.
Is that the entire focus of your life then from that moment on?
I think so.
24/7, and when it breaks down?
Yeah, then what else is there? He didn't go to class.
Focused on the end game, but not the steps to get there.
It's common. How many sad stories are there about guys that go and they're a great college player for a couple of years, they get hurt, or they don't go to class, or they're just not draftable, or they play a half a year in the NFL, and then what? I mean, I think a lot of them, I would be Can you imagine how depressing that would be for this guy?
Oh, my God.
If I was this guy, I would be going, oh, my God, my life's over. My NFL career is a bust. But what is he talking about? Hey, I've been cleared by doctors. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. Who's going to? I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on him. Well,
the Cowboys tried and it just didn't work.
What happened? Did they work him out?
That's what it sounded like, yeah. Fun fact from the story, too, about the ATV. It sounds like he paid more for the ATV than he did for that Ford Raptor F-150.
He did.
Because that ATV was, what, $9,000?
$9,000.
He paid $3,000 for the illegal.
Where was the ATV crash? I don't think I know enough about this.
Because nothing was ever filed. There was no police report filed. He just said he got in a crash. But he was driving around his hometown. So I don't know if that's Southfield. If it was Detroit. I don't know. He bought it in Dearborn Heights.
It really doesn't seem like a good idea to have an ATV in the inner city or in some place like Southfield where
there's no place to drive
it. ATV area.
He's not 15 years old living in the country. He's a 21-year-old NFL player. Why does he want an ATV? He can drive any car he wants. I mean, doesn't that seem crazy? And they did go on to say in the story that, you know, driving ATVs on the streets of Detroit is extremely popular. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. And they say that the police really don't want to pull you over because they're...
It's the thing that happens.
It's just, well, for a lot of reasons. I mean, they tend to drive in packs.
Oh.
And it tends to... People on ATVs don't want to be pulled over, and they'll...
and they'll split off.
I think there's a lot of...
Oh, yeah. And then you don't know who to chase.
Yeah, and then when you chase them... ATV accidents tend to be bad, and that reminds me.
If only there was some vacant land in the city that they could transform into some kind of ATV.
I know.
That would be sweet.
There
is space. That's what's so
pathetic. Before, I was being facetious, but why not build an ATV course?
Yeah, come on, Tony Hawk.
You know, that seems so obvious to me. Tony Hawk. I mean, it was in Ferndale.
It was right down the road, two blocks from here.
Yeah.
Have the city build it there. Give these kids something to do other than... You know, riding on the street or any bad activities they might get into, make a thing out of it.
Yeah, whole course.
Yeah, that seems so obvious to get people off the streets and the craziness going on there. And
just like boxing clubs, that was always a big theory. Set up boxing clubs, get these kids something to do.
The Tony Hawk Park, by the way. You know how you always hear about, so-and-so does this, and so-and-so, they're giving back. I always assume it's true. But yeah. Tony Hawk, one day I'm driving to 7-Eleven, and I go, hey, there's a whole skate park there. There's a million kids on this skating park, on their rollerblades and their skateboards and
scooters.
All that crazy stuff. Scooters, kids of all ages, and they're doing flips, and it looks kind of dangerous. But, I mean, they're just having a blast.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood is kind of transformed in a way. There's always kids there. And I found out after about a week that, Tony Hawk donated that. And I was like, well, I didn't know that. There's no sign that says Tony Hawk Park or anything.
Was here or anything like that.
I guess the Hawk was here, though.
Why couldn't he come two blocks and be on this podcast?
Well, we didn't invite him.
We didn't know.
Tony Hawk is a bitch. I am the real Hawk.
By the way, the Hawk. Okay,
hey, wait. You're the Hawk. Is he the? He could take his. He could have taken his chair on that court.
Oh my God! Wouldn't that be wild? Hawk versus Hawk.
Oh, wow.
And I can skate better than him.
Hey, Hawk.
Hawk doing wheelies?
Does Hawk have any feelings towards Andre Dawson, who's the first Hawk?
Ken Harrelson.
Oh, Hawk Ken the Harrelson. Hawk Harrison. Yeah.
That was 67, 66. Was Hawk the Hawk before that?
Fuck those posers.
Posers.
Oh, I bet you Hawk Harrison likes some gyrating.
Hawk Harrelson? Oh, I think he definitely likes
some. Do you think Dawson did?
Not like... Not,
I don't know.
Not
who like doesn't Steve like Hawk? Gyrating?
Well, no one likes gyrating as much as
not
Stephen
like Hawking.
Hawk.
Put it on the board.
But by the way,
put it on the board.
Hawk came up in the Jeffrey Epstein book.
What?
Yeah.
Hawk was kind of Jeffrey Epstein fashions himself as some kind of scientific expert, and he's got all these science websites where these really deep questions. And it was very interesting in the story because I'm going, wait, this guy's a financial wizard. He's a scientific, something.
Here's what I heard: blah blah blah, science.
So someone asked. I don't think it was Hawk, but it was someone else in the scientific community. Well, is Jeffrey Epstein really? And he's like, he doesn't know a damn thing about science.
No.
Of course not.
And I guess there were a lot of questions about his website. Like, he's taking credit for stuff, and it just sounded...
Jeffrey Epstein is a scam artist.
He's a con man.
Yeah. But it made
Epstein
him.
Epstein and I nailed chicks together, but mine were all of age with huge tits.
That's how Hawk knew they were of age.
Hawk got a.
Hawk could judge the age of a woman based on their tit size.
Hawk's got
hell yeah.
He's a physicist.
I think his other senses are probably dramatically enhanced by the fact that he can't use his arms and legs. I mean, just saying, probably. I don't know that.
Using your arms and legs isn't a sense.
I know it doesn't make any sense, but
the sixth sense is
he uses everything. He uses everything he's got. His brain's operating like 70% instead of 10%. His hearing, eyes, his ability to judge boob size, age, everything is enhanced. So Hawk,
concept
in the book.
Oh Lord,
I think I'm onto something here. Can somebody study that, please, and prove me right?
I don't need to use my limbs. The chicks rub up on me.
He did really well with chicks, but anyway, Epstein gifted Hawk with a special submarine that was handicap accessible, so Hawk could just chair in there and wail down below the sea.
What?
To look at
finally one nice thing about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he wanted something for it.
That was a quid pro quo.
You know what he
That's
did?
Just another challenge for the chair.
What could Stephen Hawking provide Jeffrey Epstein?
Credibility of some
he
sort.
He went to these scientific, they had these expos and these big events, and Hawking was the guest speaker, or he was the big superstar at a lot of these events.
You're not going to believe this. We have actual audio of Jeffrey Epstein asking Stephen Hawking. This is part of the quid pro quo, I guess.
Oh.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
He liked the daughters of the chicks I was nailing.
he wanted talking to shut the women up.
There's no doubt that Epstein got other dudes into these young women. It sounds to me like possibly Alan Dershowitz, possibly Prince Andrew. Oh. I mean, my gut is telling me there's so something there. And in fact, I was reading today about how Dershowitz attacked. I mean, these people were absolutely attacked the minute they said something about him.
Did you see who else he was attacking on Twitter over the weekend?
Epstein?
Yes.
Or Dershowitz?
Dershowitz, I'm sorry.
Who?
He was attacking Julie Brown, the author of the Big
Miami
Hero.
Oh, for her sexual past?
No, just I got to find it because her response was fucking perfect.
Oh, can you find that and I'll take care of this? Because I have to admit, I'm sucked deep into Epstein and all things Epstein.
Fascinating, man.
And I want to know all these other people, too. These people that procured girls for him.
Yeah.
What the?
Well, you know, I mean, that's not the only thing, either, is that he would have all these famous guys, and they may not have known that some of these girls were underage or really not wanted to know. And then he had, like, material.
I think not wanted to know.
Material for
better.
Blackmailing them.
Like, absolutely.
Hey, buddy, you can't turn on me because, look, I have a picture of you with this 15-year-old girl and all of the things that alludes to.
Well, when you look at the... When you look at Alan Dershowitz's response to this girl accusing him, it is the most vicious attack. And also, the PIs on these underage girls and also calling them prostitutes. You know, his charge was for soliciting prostitution with underage girls. Mm. So you can't be a prostitute if you're 13 years old.
No.
And
you can be used that way, but you're...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They make it paid, but they can't. They're not old enough to consent anyway, and that's what's so screwed up about it. And also, Brandon sent the story about him being Bachelor of the Month, Jeffrey Epstein. Oof. And underneath there was a story about females in Dershowitz's classes who said he was obsessed with, and this really bothered a lot of the girls in his classes, with saying that these rape cases against men, that there's always a defense against rape. And he did not believe in statutory rape, too. He felt that men should not be charged. He did say that underage women charging money, that was prostitution, but he didn't feel it was statutory. It's really, if you look for the article online, it is shocking. And the girls in the class sounded like they were very uncomfortable because this topic was just constant.
And so he's really single-minded from that far back.
I don't know. It's hard nowadays with what you read and where you read it, and who provides it. But in his case, all arrows to me point to, you did something, not to mention I got a massage at his house, but it was in my underwear. Yeah. And my wife and I have an incredible sex life. And David Boies, the attorney who represents, he goes after all the attorneys that represent the underage girls who say they had something going with him. He attacks them in ways you just can't even believe. It's like, what?
If I was
the attorney, the attorneys, all of them, he claims that every attorney has a vendetta against him, has convinced the girl to say something.
If I was advising Alan Dershowitz, I would take the same page out of my advice for Cory Booker. He just needs to release a sex tape with his wife and how great it is.
Ah, gross.
No one would watch it.
Could you imagine how many takes it would need? Come on, Alan, look like you're into it.
Gross.
But she's so old.
Hawk even jumped in on that.
It would be so squishy. Okay.
There's a big new expose on Alan in the New Yorker, too.
About?
Just all the controversy.
I've never liked this guy. I fully admit it. I don't like him. I don't want this to be true because it means that these girls went through. I mean, Alan Dershowitz, oh boy.
But there's the Julie Brown story.
It just seems that there's something really strange here, and I think he was an easy target for Epstein, if indeed he does like young girls, which seems like maybe he does. Anyway, Miami Herald reporter Julie K. Brown confessed that since her series of reports on Jeffrey Epstein, she's been the recipient of weird computer and phone activity that she finds unsettling. Nothing has happened yet, not yet. I will say that the one thing I've noticed, there's definitely something weird going on with my phones and my computer. This is what happens to these girls. They get their parents are attacked. Their parents get private investigators on them. And you know, in the Epstein case itself, the prosecutors, the assistants, they had private investigators looking into them. It was one of those attack, 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 attack everyone. So she continues to say, I've been getting incessant FaceTime calls one after another from different numbers. I'm talking millions. I answered only one. I hope that means they didn't hack in. I got so frustrated and thought, who are you? Why are you doing this? Then she took a shot at Dershowitz, who's been tangentially implicated in the Epstein case. When you go after powerful people, you know that they're going to try to find a way to mess with you. When my story on Epstein came out, Alan Dershowitz wrote an open letter to the Pulitzer Prize Committee trying to discredit my work and influence the board not to award the Miami Herald a prize. He must have said a million times, I know that you're not going to tell the truth because you're just aiming for a Pulitzer, she recalled. When I do that kind of work, it's the farthest thing from my mind. I never thought this Epstein story would be as big as it turned out to be. Never.
Side story. I asked once asked ML and Jim Schaefer, when you guys were working on these Kilpatrick pieces, did you ever think about the Pulitzer? And basically the answer is no. No, you don't think about that while you're you don't believe them? Why they're in the midst of it?
I just have to rag
them. Well, they're dead in the story. Huh? But afterward,
When they got a Pulitzer, I was so not shocked. I was so happy for those guys because they did phenomenal work.
But the idea that that's what you're aiming for as a journalist is fucking ludicrous.
I think it's pretty ridiculous. The thing that drives me is finding justice, telling a story people can relate to because there are tons of vulnerable women who have gone through something like this. And, you know, I hate this topic so much, but it just comes up all the time. Today there was a story in, I think, Detroit News about this, Opus something that provided all this money to Catholic priests.
Opus Dei.
Were accused of molesting children.
Yep.
And people are quoted saying weird things like, yeah, everyone's all concerned about the victims, but not about the priests.
No, that always happens.
And the details in the story are just fucking amazing. This guy from, I want to say, maybe somewhere in Africa who came over here and was accused of molesting someone. So they're going to send him home.
Cool. Great.
Let's send him home. How about charging him?
Yeah.
And so what they did was they sent him for rehabilitation.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens? He gets out and he molests someone and he's arrested for it.
You're going into a rehab.
Wow.
So back
to, never predicted that.
Back to Dersh. He tweeted out the link to that story and the link to the piece she referred to, where he's asking the Pulitzer to not give her.
Oh, yeah.
Over.
Right.
And he writes, Julie Brown is complaining because I exercised my freedom of the press to write the attached open letter telling the truth about her biased reporting. She has no monopoly on the First Amendment. Any implication that I messed around with computer, and then he says, dash, he writes,
I don't even have a fucking computer.
She didn't say he messed around with her computer, by the way.
She said, that she was getting attacked.
She said it was getting messed with. She didn't say on Dershowitz.
So he says that to Dershowitz. Any suggestion that responding to her reporting with my own op-ed constitutes harassment is an attempt to shut down the open marketplace of ideas. Her response to that was, Your emails to me went beyond free speech. There's a difference between exercising free speech and defaming someone with public untruths. You've been sued twice now over this very issue.
Whoa.
That's right.
And then one of the responses underneath it is just a tombstone, and it said, Alan Dershowitz, he left his underwear on. Made me laugh.
Hey, Lisa Guerrero is in there. What'd she say?
She just retweeted it with three fire emojis.
Wow.
Well, Lisa gets fired up. She gets into this stuff.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
She's our friend, too. She retweeted us.
She did?
Oh. She did. Right. Yeah.
Great.
She retweeted the show she was on. I think that's about it. Hey. Gabar and the gang at Zod Ford and Holly are smack dab in the middle of their Hurry Up and Save sales event. You've likely heard you can save 20% off sticker during the sale. Our friends at Zod Ford and DealsInD.com will do much better than that while helping you get the new Ford of your dreams. For example, you can get 0% financing for 60 months and over $14,000 off a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT. That's almost 30% off sticker. So if you're looking to buy a car, wow. Or wait. You can lease it.
Breaking news.
As low as $171 a month.
What?
How about 0% financing for 72 months or nearly $14,000 off a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4?
That's as much as a whole car.
That's almost 30% off sticker. Or lease it as low as $99 a month. It's crazy. I love that trap. Who is that?
I think it's
South Park.
Yeah, one of the goth kids from South Park.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, no way.
We all know Zod Ford's the spot for all automotive deals that are hot. So go see Anthony, the real sales manager, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County before the Hurry Up and Save Sale event passes you by. And if people don't start going to Zot because they support Zot.
That's okay.
If everybody stops going to Zot because Maz isn't there, then I'm retiring immediately. Effective immediately.
There's so much more that's still charming there.
I know. No, they've been great to us.
It's been a long time since he's had Milano's,
yes,
by the way.
They have.
And now, in the DealsInD.com studios,
Dr. Roche.
Dr. Roche.
Yeah, why should the weather be the only hotness that people are talking about? You should get some hotness yourself, and July is solidly a hot month with bikinis abounding, nice. And you have two more.
Say, bikini.
Bikinis. Just a couple more days.
Dr.
No,
Bikini.
Only two more days to call Dr. Roche and get in on the mommy makeover to become a hot mama. With body tights, a breast lift and fill, fat transfers to enhance and restore the bounce in your tubes.
Nice.
Dude, 360. Your mom is hot.
Yeah.
360 lipo. Oh, body tight, by the way. 360 lipo in combination, $600 off one area. Like if, you know, you want to wear a bikini, but you're worry about that little thing around the middle, which most people... have, unless they work out feverishly.
Could be a problem.
Nice.
And also, buy one, get one syringe of Restylane Free, which smooths out your forehead lines and all of those other lines in your face. So you might want to do that to get hot. And you have two more days to jump into it. Consult with Dr. Roche at 248-338-1110. Or go online, better yet, at drroche.com, and you can see all the pictures.
Yeah, look at pictures.
That sounds pretty good. Hmm?
Everybody likes pictures.
Pictures.
How far in are we, Brandon?
I have no idea.
I don't either. We started for 17 minutes, and then our power went out. It was sprinkling.
Sprinkling.
Sprinkling, I admit it, in DT's defense.
You know, you tweeted out about it, and I feel like the tide has turned against you because you haven't bought a generator.
Should I have to buy a generator?
You should not have to. Not around here.
Right.
Survival instinct?
And having a generator doesn't necessarily really fix a lot of the recording issues because there's still a 15-second delay in between Generac picking things up. And so a lot of audio files would have to be transferred.
We have a battery backup for the important things. So don't worry about it. Nobody missed anything.
We could spend $6,000 on a generator or we could spend $6,000 on something else.
Exactly.
Would you want to spend $6,000 on a generator? I mean, it's not...
No, for the pure point that you shouldn't need one.
I know. It doesn't mean it won't happen.
No, I know, but don't buy one just out of spite.
Well, no, I won't. I wouldn't.
Remember when nobody had to have a generator?
Exactly.
Yeah, like my whole life until I lived here.
I bet you Edison owns the generator company.
Ask your friends who live in other states if they have a generator.
Yeah.
And I bet you the response, unless they live in some, unusual place, This is what makes me so mad about DT, and I'm so pumped that Elric's doing a show on this. I'm so excited. And he's got a great show with Rob Walchek last week on the Michigan
Moves, fun
too. And it's doing well, by the way. Charlie has a show. Oh, my God. Charlie got 70,000 downloads.
All right.
Wow.
Like four shows ago. I don't even know what he did.
Maybe called Bangladesh. Just kidding.
Well, it didn't help him on the previous show or the next show.
He just bought one.
He does fine, but he has this one show. It's like, oh, my God. I think it's about Duggan's high-priced appointees, I believe.
Yeah, 70,800.
Duggan.
Yeah. I mean, that means a lot. It means a lot for advertisers, too, because, you know, Charlie gets his 40, 40, 40, 45, 35. I mean, he's around 40,000. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think the gripe people say is, well, it's only 40,000 people. You're reaching the same 40,000. It's like, well, no. He got 70 this week. 70,000 different people sampled his show. Huh. So, you know, as far as what they call it, cum in the business, total different people listening.
Cumulative
he's got 70,000. He's probably got more than, he's probably close to 100,000 different people that listen to his show.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him. And all those guys really do work hard in their shows. I don't know, what's No Filter about today, Brandon?
No Filter today? Mm-hmm. Well, had to jump into a lot of things with MLB and with football. There's a lot of news with football because it's coming back. Get ready.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Pretty much every single weekend from here until February is coming back. And so there's talks of, you know, a strike next year that they're already negotiating. There's talks of the 18-game seasons they want to go to, which is going to basically push the season into late February. They're vying for it. They're pushing.
If they eliminated the exhibition games, I don't think so either.
The bummer is we got to talk about Tigers because it is Detroit, and the Tigers suck balls. So we're trying to figure out who's to blame. This, that, and the other. Those guys have so many great stories that they can call back and they can, you know, remember. We saw Trevor Bauer yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw
it. Yeah, it was a great throw.
He had a hissy fit and he threw the ball from the mound over the center field
wall.
That's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
I love it. Cool. Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah.
So Denny gets to talk about, you know, meltdowns that he's seen when he was a player and stuff like that. So
I really think No Filter's best show was last Thursday. It was really, I mean, I've listened to them all. That was by far the best one.
Oh, the show. Yeah.
What was the outlier there?
No doubt.
I don't know. People have to listen to find out.
The show that I was gone. Oh, thank you for filling in, Mark.
I'm their number two show, by the way, when I guest appeared.
Ooh!
I'm still lagging behind Dick Vitale, but I'm coming up fast behind him.
Yeah, Dick Vitale episode has it's definitely the highest volume listened to show.
And they banged 10,000, which they do two shows a week, so 10,000 could mean 20,000. They can stay at 10,000, 20 grand a week.
So I got to get Dick Vitale on the... Soul of Detroit.
if these old men would listen to us a little bit, they'd have 20,000 every show and probably 25.
And I just celebrate the fact that Denny brought me quadruple
king size. I know
the amount of. Is that for me or does he really intend to leave that or?
That's for you.
What? It's all for you, Trudy.
My relationship with Denny McClain is really cool.
Denny,
I love it. He gives and I take.
Does he eat a Hershey's usually?
He eats Kit Kat while he's here.
Okay.
He doesn't eat the Hershey, just passes those along. I think he must have, like, boxes in his basement or something. He's trying to get rid of them.
I think he gets paid in Hershey bars, and he loves peanuts. Oh, my God, does he love peanuts?
Yeah. Getting paid in Hershey bars.
Okay, before we leave the true crime people behind, the Epsteins, et cetera, I couldn't believe what I was reading this morning about... the school shooter who murdered five people and shot 10 back in, I think it's 96, maybe?
Jonesboro?
It's Jonesboro. He was killed in a car crash.
The one Delbert was, wasn't Delbert near Jonesboro?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
that was his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's killed in a car crash. And I'm going, wait, killed in a car crash?
What, were they
transporting
him
from prison?
Did he escape from prison?
No, I seriously thought, some bus that was transporting him must have gotten hit. No, totally wrong. He was out.
Yeah.
He was out on his 21st birthday.
Under a different name.
Yeah, he's under a different
name.
Jeff
Stone.
Oh, his name was?
Jeff Stone.
And you know what?
Drew.
People didn't know what he was up to. Mark, did you know he was out?
I had no idea.
Judy?
No.
No idea.
But I didn't know until I read this article, too. Because these boys, Mitchell Johnson and Andrew Golden, they were 13 and 11. When this occurred. So I'm wondering if the age you know, being so young and being the perpetrator of a school shooting that they
100%.
Just...
That was back before they started charging minors as adults.
Well, I think they were charged as adults, but I think their 21st birthday unleashed... Because, you know, Nathaniel Abraham was charged as an adult.
Yeah.
But he was let go at 21 anyway. And by the way, he was so well rehabilitated.
Good call.
I mean, what a great idea letting...
To the same place that priest went to get rehabilitated.
We get to find out how long it is that Nathaniel Abraham can go without committing another serious crime. And it was fun. It was exciting. We found out that it took at least a few months.
Yeah.
And in this guy's case, he too has been in and out of jail since he got out of prison at the age of 21 for murdering 5 people and shooting 10. And by the way, both of them are out. Yeah. Both of them were out on their 21st birthday.
And the one that survived, the one that's alive right now, he's actually kind of he's the worst. He is absolutely terrible. He was a terrorizer in school. He was a bully.
And what's he doing now?
Now, well, they don't know. I mean, these guys, they change their names, obviously.
You know, we know about sex offenders. Shouldn't people know that, hey, there's somebody that killed 5 people living down the street from you? Don't you have a right to know that?
And the guy that just died... Andrew Golden.
Yeah.
He got busted a couple years ago trying to sneak through the system and get his weapons permit and get a...
Oh, great.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah. He was trying to at least get a weapon, and then they, you know, he was using his fake name, but because of the fingerprints, they ended up finding out, and they said, no.
But, I mean,
the system caught someone? Oh, my God.
Aren't you amazed? Because I am. I'm like, wow. I didn't even know that about the gun. I knew he was in and out of jail, but I didn't know that he'd been attempting to get a gun, which is just fascinating. Why would that fucking guy, if he's rehabilitated, you'd think he'd never want to be near a gun again?
But thank God a head-on collision saved so many people.
So, I know.
I know. I should be so sad.
A couple things about this. I guess ABC News a while ago tried to track down. They're the only 2 mass shooters that are walking free.
Right.
Johnson was released earlier. And he was easier to track because he's been in and out of jail for various reasons.
Yeah.
But there was a 29-year-old with the same last name in the car with the guy, too. Was he married? And he went by Drew Grant.
Oh.
And a small child was in the car.
Oh.
Fun.
What a great idea. And as it turns out,
we'll
never find out exactly how long he can go because his life's terminated. But... we did find out that he did go a certain amount of time before attempting to get a weapon and whatever his other troubles were. And the other guy,
he never had a childhood.
So, you know, to read this story this morning after the Gilroy Garlic Festival shooting.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, here's a guy who I think he was 19, maybe even 18, bought an AK-47 legally in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be legal. And... You know, I don't want to get into the whole assault weapons thing. I just think 18 is too young. There's too many idiots that are 18 to be legal to buy an assault weapon. That's my opinion, and you're free to disagree. I'm not crazy about every 21-year-old, to be honest. It just feels like there's so many leaks, and I just hate this whole topic because nobody's going to win an argument.
Yeah, you're not going to change anyone's mind.
But I sure wish we could just get to 21. That would make me feel a little bit better. And as you're reading the story, you read about the cops returning fire with handguns while this guy is shooting at the police with an AK-47, which just seems so nuts. And I'm just, by the way, this is just on the heels of watching Bad Blood all weekend in Chicago on Netflix. Is anybody else into that?
Bad Blood?
It's about the Canadian mafia.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, what a story. I talked about it. The Rizzuto family.
Yeah, Kim Coates.
Wow, Kim Coates is fantastic in this thing. And you know what's so weird is that I'm really rooting for Kim Coates. He's really a bad, bad guy. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, RCMP seems like they're onto him. Or, you know, this is going to get him. And he's really smart. Or either the writer's smart. A lot of it's true. I think he is a character that's been produced to sort of fit the story.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A lot of things that...
To make you root for him.
I don't know if I should be rooting for him, but I can't help it. He's so cool. He just murders a lot of people.
I love
bad guys.
Tony Soprano.
He was very likable.
He was cool.
Yeah, I rooted for him, too.
Yeah.
I rooted for Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
He was a bad guy.
Walter White became a bad guy.
A lot of bad guys. So, anyway, the Gilroy Garlic Festival, 2 things. Very serious issue, very shallow thoughts. We'll find out a lot more.
I think I know.
The first one is Teresa Guidus from the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes.
She's the one whose husband, I think, is being deported to Italy, committed some financial crimes.
Joe
Guidus, yeah. It was a hassle.
Yeah.
I actually watched that show a little bit. I know who they are. She is like probably one of the biggest people on Cameo.
Yeah,
she's been on the show a long time.
Pretty well known for some reason.
She's made a lot of money. She was millions in debt for some reason. I mean, they both had horrible financial issues. She's made a ton of money. She's written books and all this. But she's actually a total zero. She is a perfect face of, in my opinion, the decade or year of the dumb millionaire. Because there's no way this idiot, she's done nothing to deserve anything. But she came out to say that, well, she might have just said, it could have been me.
Like, that could have been me.
She said, I was at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It could have been me. She was there the day before the shooting. Not the day of the shooting. It could not have been her because she wasn't there.
Oh,
she went,
God.
You know how many people could say, I've been to the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Not that day, but another day. They have 100,000 people there.
I've been to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it could have been you.
Me.
I know. Or if you flew out the day before, oh my God, it could have been me. I hate country music and I'd never go to something like that, but it could have been there.
Like, that could have been me.
I've flown on a plane before.
Yeah, you could have been 9/11
victim. Could have been.
I've been to a festival.
See? Could have been you, Trudy.
I mean, honestly.
No, it's really annoying.
And I don't even know where to go with it. It's so stupid. But then the second thing was I got home. I ran in the door. We had an interview with Katie Hamilton. Everything was kind of rushed. And then our power
went
out.
Everything was broken.
Yeah, we had to reschedule Katie Hamilton like 9 times. a guest who was admittedly maybe kind of marginal, although I thought she did a good job and she's interesting, and Josh Hamilton and his history, and I thought there was something there, and I'm glad we had her on. But nonetheless, to be rescheduling, Trudy's on the phone for like 10 minutes. She wants to know what's the time difference
and time zone.
What's the time zone in Texas? I'm going to be in Los Angeles. It was like, oh my God. But the point being,
I appreciate your help with that.
You're very welcome. I get in the door and Trudy mentioned something on GMA. I was like, oh, I haven't seen GMA in like 3 days. So I pop on GMA. And there's the Gilroy Garlic Festival story right off the bat, as I thought it would be. And the witness, the two women, who were they everywhere?
They made the rounds this morning, okay. Yeah. They were on every morning show today, GMA and CBS, CTM.
I think it was the first question asked, you know, like, well, what did you see? And she said, well, as soon as I got out of the porta potty, and I was like, Emilio was like, oh my God, all I can think about is the horrendous shit this woman took in the porta potty. And what a grotesque mess. I'm picturing cloud decks with shit on top of it, another cloud deck. I mean, all of the horrors of a porta potty.
Mind you, at the garlic festival.
Garlic festival.
Lord knows what she's been eating.
And I'm starting, my head is really playing games with like, what's worse, the porta potty or what happened after she got out? And it was like, oh my God, this is horrible. How shallow of me to even be thinking about this, but it just...
She said she hadn't gone number 2 in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
Did she have to mention the porta potty? Couldn't she have said I was near the porta potty?
Or that I was just walking, you know,
yeah, or something.
Out.
Isn't there another thing that she could have, you know, given that was a reference point besides coming out of the porta potty, which means she just took a dump?
Hey.
And I just felt, I was certain it was a dump, too. I was absolutely certain. There was no doubt in my mind.
Because when you were looking at her, you could tell, right?
It seemed like, I don't know, I know it's horrible and I feel terrible, but I said, seriously, shell thought, so you can't put me down too far.
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Got the severe anal discharge, sometimes violent, a.k.a. diarrhea.
Did anybody else notice that?
Yes. I'm not just saying it because you mentioned it, but on CBS this morning, when I was watching it live, she said, I was like, porta potty, it's kind of weird.
And I thought...
She said that on every...
That's her line.
Every interview.
She's the shock witness.
She is.
She's to shock the viewer into paying attention.
Mike Clark popped into my mind, the porta potty at MSU he walked into disaster. That had the feces sprayed all over the walls. And God, it was awful.
Ugh.
Oh,
but
boy.
Anyway, this guy...
Gross.
Seems to be
a loser.
Your garden variety idiot, jackass, nutcase who loves reading about Hitler and all kinds of horrible people.
Loves being on 4chan. Or no, I'm sorry, 8chan.
Oh, good.
And what's that? I don't even
4chan
know.
4chan times 2.
That website bring out all the scum?
What is that website?
8chan's where the New Zealand shooter posted all his stuff, isn't it, Brandon?
Yeah, no.
And you're on there all the time.
Isn't it kind of a forum for anybody to say whatever?
Yeah,
it is a forum.
Goes.
Extreme,
and
sort
that's,
of.
The point is supposed to be anything and everything can go, yeah.
But it's the worst spot.
It's just a user-created board, and then there are moderators, but anything can go.
Not doing a very good job. Of course, this guy cut through the fence, so he would...
Yeah, with bolt cutters.
Neat.
So he'd get his AK-47 in.
Way to kill two kids, by the way.
They really...
Little kids.
Shot 60 people. Didn't he hit 60 people?
Was it 60?
I thought it was 60.
No, it wasn't that much. I mean, three were dead, but I thought there were only like 14 more injured.
Okay.
That ported potty lady, too, didn't she
12.
Say? 12. 12. Didn't she say that she saw him reload, and that's when it like clicked, like, oh my God, he really is shooting? Because everybody, once again, the cliche.
Yeah, because it was pointed down as he was stipping the...
She saw him pull it out of the bag.
Sticking the clip in. Yeah.
And I watched the clips that people recorded, and I'm like, where's the one with like 50 people with their phones out like this, you know, like they're at a concert?
I was
everything was of the ground.
I was surprised at how calm a lot of the footage was, people filming it.
Do we have any, is there any footage that's worth looking
Inside
at?
Inside Edition did a story, and they also did more background with some very insignificant trivia about the shooter's family.
Oh, okay, I'm always up for insignificant trivia.
And prepare for funerals for the three who were killed. A trio, which includes a six-year-old little boy.
We're learning disturbing new details
calm everybody
about
is in that
the
video?
Teenage gunman responsible for the latest mass shooting.
Why? What is the recording person thinking right now?
He's been identified as 19-year-old Santino Legan, seen here graduating high school with his classmates in 2017. Sunday, he was shot dead by police after killing three people, including a six-year-old boy, and wounding 15 others at a garlic festival in Gilroy, California. Today, police converged on his home just 2 miles from the scene of the shooting. His older brother is a local celebrity. Rossino Legan is a middleweight boxing champion. Here's Jim Murray.
What?
Neighbors here in Gilroy said Santino Legan was a quiet kid and never in any trouble. They'd often see him working out in his garage with his brothers. The family is well known around these parts. His grandfather was a county supervisor.
Just minutes.
County supervisor is not well known.
I was just going to ask you.
Get out of here.
I was just going to ask you, do you know who the Oakland County supervisor is?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Before the shooting, this photo of the festival was posted to Instagram, purportedly by the killer. The caption reads, "I Garlic Festival Time. Come get wasted on overpriced blank."
Shit.
There was also a reference to a book popular with white supremacists, but the account's authenticity has not been verified. A rock band was playing when pandemonium broke out Sunday evening.
We pause for a second.
Cell phone videos.
Another serious issue.
No one was there.
The rock band didn't look like a big attraction, did it?
There was nobody around the stage.
Nobody in front of the stage at all.
No. Well, maybe.
I think the booking people, they should maybe work on getting somebody new in there next year.
Looked like it was maybe early.
Same.
Early. That's so nice of you, Trudy. Yeah, it did look like this crowd.
Trudy, why are you trying to sell us on the band that it wasn't their fault? Are you used to making excuses for poor attendance?
Yes.
The name of the band, by the way, is Tin Man.
Tin Man, huh?
Yeah.
Tin Man?
Yeah.
Well, Bowie's band was Tin Men, wasn't it?
I think so.
Tin Men?
Yeah.
The Sales Brothers?
Yeah, it could not have been.
Chaos, panic, and disbelief as festival goers fled.
What's going on? What's going on? Oh, they shooting. Who's shooting at a garlic festival?
This is crazy.
Why are they having a conversation while someone's shooting?
Police
I think she made
swiftly,
a great point, though. Who's shooting up a garlic festival?
Seconds.
That's a great question.
Looks like there's something might be in the creek. He's wearing a camouflage hat, camouflage uniform, and he's got a long rifle with a Ramon magazine.
But it was not swift enough to save the life of this cute little boy, 6-year-old Stephen Romero. Stephen's distraught father rushed to the hospital and was told the tragic news.
They told me he was in critical condition.
Seriously, Shell thought?
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a Kaepernick jersey. Isn't that Kaepernick?
Is he?
Or no, was Kaepernick 7?
Yeah, I think
later,
so.
Take it back.
13?
According to a national database on gun violence, there have been more than 31,000 incidents of gun violence this year in America, resulting in more than 8,400 deaths.
Somebody would argue that
that number's way inflated because the way they record...
Why do people argue about... I don't know. They always do, though. And I'm like, oh, my God. There's too many of them, okay? Can they just say that so people don't get pissed?
This band has, like, no footprint online. Oh, wait, maybe. Oh. I'm looking for the band. I want to know more about this band.
I don't know what...
I want to know more about Trudy's favorite band.
Oh, God, Trudy. Get a room with Tin Man.
There's a couple bands called Tin Man.
They're catching fire.
Do they have any photos of the band members? I just want to see if Trudy may this have is definitely taken a liking to one in the brief
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, where'd you find that?
So it's capital T, capital M. Tin Man, one word. They're a classic rock band from San Fran.
Oh. What is, I don't know. What do they play?
Facebook page, Brandon?
Rock.
Did Trudy, God, what did she get sucked into with this band?
I follow them online.
Oh, I
they play instruments.
Oh, they charge $850 to $5,000 per event.
What?
They don't get that much. There was no one there.
No way. There's no way.
Here's a video. Let's see.
$850.
This is a very questionable booking.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God. Golden Earring.
Radar Love? Is that them or is that Golden Earring?
Oh, it's that. Why did I start to answer?
Not bad. Sure, Dim.
Are you with
bit,
me?
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's hear the drummer.
The name is dumb. But...
A rock and roll!
Hey, why didn't they keep playing Radar Love?
This is a promo video.
We're going to hear a little bit of their catalog, their cover catalog.
There's sizzle reel.
There's three people on the stage in that shot.
Yeah, they need to clip that.
Oh, that was Sly and the Family Stone. Good range.
Oh, Sly and the Family Stone. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey.
Chris Klein's in the band.
Yeah. There's two people in front of the stage.
Stop.
Can we see them with a crowd at least once?
Get a horn player.
They got a cool light show.
Oh, Life in the Fast Lane?
Stepwolf. You know what?
They got the cowbell.
Oh, look, there's a... Well, there are 12 people there.
What song is that?
It's an original.
It's the Doors.
Yeah. Oh. L.A. Woman?
Yeah.
Is that L.A. Woman?
Yeah, that is.
I think they should eliminate that. Like that.
My Sharona?
All right, they cover New Wave. What? Is that someone taking a selfie with the lead singer? Is that what that was?
Did you see it's Trudy.
<That's me>.
Probably.
Doobies.
Oh, good dog, woman. This reminds me, what is the update on the classic rock poll on Channel 4?
We're in the finals. We are in the finals.
That's right.
What happened?
Anybody lose their headphones? Oh, they're back.
You and I both lost it. Did you knock the cord out of the power?
I was so excited about the classic rock poll.
That's because that's a slave to that one. And I know that may be racist to use the word slave, but that's the technical term that monitor is a slave to
it's
that
a
monitor.
Server, okay?
Just don't say it's owned by... The other one.
It's governed by that monitor.
Yes, the classic rock poll had some really big matchups like the Stones versus Zeppelin. And even though Gary Graff really, I thought he was not terribly respectful of the Channel 4 classic rock poll, we are still following the results.
He is yet to produce his own.
He's too busy.
Which did not, didn't we talk about that? That's true.
He has to go to every show, so...
I am curious. What the great thing is about music? It's so easy.
I would love to see what the final four in our audience is.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun to do one for our audience only. Mm-hmm. Be helpful.
So the Beatles beat Van Halen, right?
Well, yes. I'm trying to find
out. Yes, the Beatles beat Van Halen, but then there was an upset.
Ooh. What?
Where Led Zeppelin beat the Rolling Stones.
Who was the one seed?
The minor upset.
Whoa.
They were both one seeds out of their respected brackets.
Oh, this is for the finals?
Yeah, so the Beatles were a one seed, Stones and Zeppelin were all one seeds, and I believe Van Halen was a three seed coming out of that loser bracket where Boston was number one.
Oh, and Foreigner was number two.
Yeah.
So who was the other final four matchup? So
the final four matchups were the Stones versus Zeppelin and Beatles versus Van Halen.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. How about the Elite Eight is what I meant.
Okay, Elite Eight. The Stones did defeat Aerosmith.
Mm. Okay.
Zeppelin beat The Who. The Beatles took out Queen, and Boston fell to Van Halen.
that the Beatles bracket is way too hard. They're going to be worn out for this Zeppelin matchup. They had to beat Seger Zeppelin. At home.
Zeppelin just left it all onto the court against the Stones and That's the true. Who.
Yeah, I think the Van Halen was probably They're not the toughest matchup for the Beatles. And by the way, please, if you think the Beatles suck or you think they're overrated, can you please tell someone else? I don't need to hear from every person who doesn't like the Beatles. I understand.
Tell someone
they are the most probably they have more endurance than any band from the classic rock period. They're still very much talked about, and you can't not bump into the Beatles somewhere. I get it. Maybe they're not of your generation, or maybe you are of that generation, but you didn't like them.
Oh, I didn't
can't
realize.
Can't people hate on other bands? Can people start writing me about the other bands they hate? Does anyone hate Zeppelin? Does anyone hate the Stones, the Who, Pink Floyd?
Well.
Why do the Beatles get all the hate?
Well, because their fans hated. Can be a little obnoxious about how great they are.
What?
Huh?
Hey,
Not you.
You have a right to hate the Beatles or to think the Beatles suck. I think people are annoyed by the Beatles more than anything.
That's
why?
What,
I don't even understand why that's
coming
from.
You hit the nail on the head. Because they're everywhere.
But
they're hard to escape.
I think people just like...
Probably a lot of parents.
They like hating them, too, because they're
so
it's
an
popular.
Establishment band now? It's like...
Yeah, they are. You're right, Trudy. They're like the generic classic rock band almost,
man.
Which is a bummer.
Oh, crap. Well,
you can actually look at live voting for the championship round.
What?
Really?
What do you think it's at right now?
It's 70-30 Beatles.
I'm going to say like 58-42 Beatles.
Trudy?
I'm going to say 75-20.
Were you going to say 70-30?
You're thinking about way too much.
Beatles. Yeah.
It is 52-48
Whoa.
Beatles.
Whoa.
That's close.
Whoa.
Wow.
Does anyone hate on Zeppelin?
No, I don't.
I think
never
ML
heard anybody
does
hate
not
on.
Like them.
I think you're right.
He's the only person I've ever heard say that.
Yeah. To me, there's a lot of reasons. Rock. I'm not trying to like make people hate other bands because people hate the Beatles and they write me and they argue with me. In fact, I think I put up a fairly good argument when people want to argue this. I say, at least give them their due. I mean, they wrote a lot of songs that were big. And that's, okay, I think I've hit on something else. The Beatles are in a way, they're a pop band because Lennon-McCartney, Harrison wrote like 40 number one songs. I mean, number one pop chart songs. The albums are all number one. They have the most record sales, so they're kind of
give
pop.
Them his
due. See what people don't
they're
like.
They're a rock
them.
Band, too.
They don't like the early songs, like the Hold My Hand, you know, teeny bopper boy band
those
type
are
songs.
Happy kind of songs, though. They sound very happy.
It was also 1964. People weren't writing about LSD.
Sure.
I mean, same thing with Elvis. Actually, there's Elvis hate, too. I occasionally get the,
oh, man.
What's the big thing about Elvis?
I
might be somewhat guilty.
I learned some.
I even like Fat Elvis.
Really?
I learned Burn in Love and Kentucky Rain. And
I came across some interesting facts about Elvis, Zeppelin, Pink Floyd this weekend because I was sick. So I was laid up in bed.
Uh-huh.
And I got the opportunity to
by
watch.
By the way, I just want to say this. There's Pink Floyd. There's a fair share of Pink Floyd hatred out there.
No, come
oh, yeah.
on.
There is.
Come on.
Yeah.
And I think it's also. They're overplayed on classic rock, and they play the
same
frickin' songs over and over. And there's Pink Floyd songs I used to love that I'm like, oh, not again.
I know.
So because I was able, because I was sick, I was able to binge watch something, and I found this 10-year-old documentary on Monty Python.
Mm.
And did you know that...
George Harrison?
Well, that... Did you know that?
He financed The Life of Brian.
Yeah,
it was
did
about
you know
to
why?
Go down the tubes. Because it was going to be not be made, I think.
Because he said, the quote was, I just wanted to see the movie. That was his answer. So Eric Idle, who was friends with him, basically was giving him a lot of shit for paying the most expensive amount.
To see a movie.
To see a movie.
And $5 million then, how much was that today, Brandon? 20?
21.
$21 million. Wow. Can you imagine like Kanye just going, here's $21 million, make a movie because
I want to see it.
But Olivia Harrison is in the
that
documentary.
That should bring more Beatles love, I think.
And she mentioned how that was one of his best investments ever.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because the movie made so much money. But I didn't know that Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin bankrolled Holy Grail.
Oh.
I did not know that either.
They had trouble raising money because in America, the first thing they put out was for Something Different Now, which they didn't have control over, and it was kind of a bomb, their very first film. So they had trouble raising money for Holy Grail, and those two bankrolled it, and Eric Idle's like, which was the perfect boss because they didn't care what we did. They just gave us the money because they had the money to spend. Wow. But Elvis, one of his favorite movies ever was Holy Grail.
Really?
And I guess he used to sit there and quote, just a little flesh wound, man.
No!
No. They interviewed one of
them. That just made Elvis a lot cooler.
Yeah, and they were thrilled by that. I mean, they were thrilled by the fact that Pink Floyd and Zeppelin knew who they were.
Well, the Led Zeppelin went to see Elvis.
The Led Zeppelin.
They called him the Led Zeppelin.
But the idea that Elvis was sitting there watching the movie, like throwing out lines, just killed them. They thought that was the funniest thing ever.
That's funny. I think Elvis, by the way, I don't think he was as dumb as people sometimes think he is. And I think when he said stuff like the Led Zeppelin, and when the Beatles showed up, he's going, "Hey, Beatle man," like, you know, their names. Yeah, I think that was just demeaning. His way of saying that I'm on top, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the Led Zeppelin's called. And it's just Beatle 1, Beatle 2. Hey, Beatle.
It was a great documentary, though, if you're ever sick and have to 6 hours to waste.
What was the documentary again?
Monty Python. I think it's called The Almost Truth.
Oh.
It's really good. Made me realize how much I don't like John Cleese.
What? Why? John Cleese is great.
John Cleese?
He's kind of a dick.
What?
He was kind of a dick.
What do you mean?
He's kind of like the Chevy Chase of the group.
John Cleese?
I thought he came across as kind of a dick.
Oh, in the documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always find
Eric Idle's very likable.
Yeah, Eric Idle's
very likable. Palin's very likable. And I had no idea that Graham Chapman was gay. And a major alcoholic.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's really worth watching.
So who else gets hate in the classic rock category? Can we should almost do a Twitter poll.
Who else gets
Van Halen doesn't have a lot of hate, do they?
Nor should they.
No. There's that whole 50-50 Van Hagar.
Right. Yeah, which is a lot like Lennon McCartney.
Yeah. Yeah,
on a larger scale, though.
Yeah,
more people like the Beatles.
Oh, I got one.
There, but
that's
they
very
hate.
Huge.
I got one. We were talking about this before. Rush gets a lot of hate.
Yeah, Rush takes a lot of hate. No doubt.
Undeserved.
Oh, I think the vocals. I think the.
That's what. That's what it is. Really, it's the vocals.
Why?
I don't know. It's
it's kind of shrieky, high.
Very unique.
Who else can sing a multi-syllabic word?
I don't know, I'm somebody that came around to Rush. I appreciate Rush. They're not one of my favorite bands, but I absolutely appreciate them. And I think musicians appreciate them like all hell.
I think what it is that, you know, like that bass thing is so huge. It just really, it carries everything. So Geddy Lee by himself, and he's brilliant.
Oh, he's a great player.
And his, you know, his musicianship aside, his vocals are high, but... That.
I know, it's pretty
sweet. My God.
Their music
the bottom.
It's extremely creative. It's indescribable. They're totally their own thing.
Right. And
I mean, there's no one like, who do you go, oh, they sound like Rush. They're a Rush ripoff. No, I don't think people can even rip off Rush.
So many different.
They have some really wet, really interesting lyrics, by the way.
I know. Yeah. And none of them understood him.
True.
They were written by, was Peart the guy who wrote all their...
Yeah, Neil Peart. But they got it done.
Oh, hell yeah.
Huge.
And it's Geddy's birthday today.
They could tour tomorrow and sell out.
That reminds me. So before the show, I came across this YouTube channel, and it might be my new favorite channel. It's this guy goes by No Life Shack. It's this black dude, and people send him requests, and it's his reaction to listening to things for the first time.
Oh, because he's never heard any classic rock?
And he loved, Freebird. He loved Freebird because of the message.
Cool.
It's like a breakup song, but he's like, it's not your fault. It's my fault.
And he kept calling him Leonard. Come on, Leonard.
He's running around the room.
Yeah. He's listening to Pink Floyd, and he's like, oh, listen to Pink play that guitar. Go on, Pink.
This is really funny.
Metal, I don't know nothing. Metalhead Shaq, he does that. I'm all about the hip-hop. So we finna check this out.
Here he is listening to Spirit of the Radio.
Nothing about Rush. Let's get it.
He's really funny, man.
Oh my God, you gotta see him, though. You must go to this. Watch this yourself.
Without a doubt, every episode he'll freeze when something amazing happens. He just freezes like his mind's blown.
What is that noise?
What happened? Where'd the audio go? Wait. Did you guys hear that?
He stopped it.
No, but it cut out. Hang on.
First of all, what is that noise?
He's frozen again.
It sounds like they're pulling up floorboards. Like, Mid-Ass Shaq told me something about this is only three dudes or something. He said this is three dudes doing all this.
That's also amazing.
There's no way this is three dudes.
What's that bass? Oh my god.
Oh. He's starting to groove. Starting to dig it. It's a mean mug into the camera.
It's got like a smell the fart face. Only in a good way.
Yeah, it's his own farty.
The bottom end of Rush is incredible.
You know, there's something about some instruments. Boy, the drumming is insane, bro. The drumming is insane. Who is the drummer? I need a name.
You can look it up. One of the videos, he actually paused it and Googled the lyrics because he had to know what was being said.
How many whacks on this site, on this video?
He's got almost, he's got like 800,000
really?
Followers.
Wow, yeah, that's but great. Like,
this video only has 97,000 views.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he watches comedians and stuff
but
too.
Name but name some other bands that he reviews.
Metallica, a lot of Metallica.
A lot of Metallica.
Oh my god, his reaction to Metallica.
He loves Metallica.
Living Color, Cult of Personality. Oh, he did Bohemian Rhapsody.
You like
they
it?
They sound like angels.
He's Slipknot.
Tennis did like most of it. AC/DC. Yeah. I don't know. It made me laugh today.
It's kind of amazing. What would you do if that were the first time you were exposed to that kind of stuff? And how, you know. And by the way, what were the observations he made that I had no idea? Oh, I think it was.
Different sounds these people are making.
It's this one, Trudy, I think.
Yeah. You frozen again?
No, he's blown away.
His voice is an instrument, bro. Why do his voice synchronize with the music? Why? His voice is part of the instrumental. That's tough.
It's the idea that he said three dudes can make this much, and I never really thought of it that way. But it's
I have to admit I never believed three pieces could get it done. But when you look at Cream, the Police, Rush, the Who and the Doors are really a three piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. ZZ Top.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of times though those three pieces though they end up taking on a fourth piece or somebody
or adding an orchestra
eventually.
Love Sublime.
It's just a question of your honesty. Yeah, your honesty. We catching those. Oh no, you thought you the only one had vocals? Hey, you ain't the only one got vocals. I don't know your name. Ain't it like Getty or something? Like Getty, what you thought this was?
He was watching
it's not real big on tenses either.
He was watching, Master of Puppets. And he's talking about, this song's about drugs. And Brandon and I were both like, is this song about drugs? We never thought about it.
It happens to me all the time. I hear songs and go, God, this song is so melancholy. Why am I saying that? It just sounds melancholy. And then I read the lyrics and I go, well, this is a love song. Or, you know, God, this song sounds really, you know, it's a sweet song. Oh, it's about breaking up,
right.
Beating the shit out of somebody. I had no idea.
Stalking. The Police.
He pretty much likes everything. The only criticism I've heard him have was, I think it was in, was it Metallica 1 where it got, maybe it was Ride the Lightning.
Master of Puppets.
Oh, Master of Puppets, when it changes.
During, when it kind of
it got
them
all
down.
Hyped up and then, afterwards, it was too smooth, I think you said.
Yeah.
Did you guys lose your headphones, smooth. Too? Did your slave lose its headphones?
Yeah, my slave.
I think Drew keeps kicking out the power cord. Yeah. So to us, it sounds like the show stopped again, but to everybody else, it's fine.
Jesus. My God.
Why'd you kill him, Brandon? You don't want to hear him talk about Rush anymore?
I have to go a little bit off topic here.
All right. I'm done with him.
Any idea what Evans... almost two-year-old daughter's favorite song is. I'm going to take a whack. It's a popular song. It was very popular a couple years ago. Extremely popular.
Annie's 15 months, and she really likes Unchained by Van Halen.
This is a fairly new song. And I know Maddie loves Telephone Line, but only live.
Live version, yeah.
I think she needs to give them more credit because their studio work is fantastic.
She's heard a lot of it. She just doesn't get that pop and that smile, and she doesn't start jamming along. unless it's that live version from Wembley. I don't get it either, but well,
she likes to pretend that she's there.
She responds to that opening. Yeah. Doo, 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 and she's just
Brooke
like,
loves Gangnam Style.
Oh, my God.
She loves it. And you know what it is? It's the false end, you know, when it goes, bum, 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 and then Gangnam Style.
Uh-huh.
And then, the, you know, the video, the dancing, which she does. Which all that.
Oh my God.
I know, it's pretty
remember
incredible.
Remember how huge wow. this was?
Yeah. Gangnam
Style. She's not as good at imitating him as she is at Baby Shark. I mean, Baby Shark
is the worst.
She probably has about 100,000 of the 3 billion downloads.
Oh, my God.
She loves Baby Shark, of course, which I guess. Does Maddie like Baby Shark?
She likes it when Kristen sings and dances along.
Yeah. Well, Brooke was dancing along with Alyssa, and she, when she did this part, you know, because it's like, well, does everybody, can you play Baby Shark?
Everybody knows I mean, Baby Shark.
Okay, I thought they would.
Oh, my God, I never thought I'd hear that.
When, yeah, that
dance. Wait, do-do-do-do, I can't think of the song. I've only heard it 20
shark,
times.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do.
Mommy Shark, do-do-do-do-do.
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do. Mama Shark,
run away, do-do-do-do-do-do. Because the shark, and then, was it What a Relief, or what's the next?
Yeah, and then you do this.
Yeah, she does, and she does it. Sing a baby, do this.
It's really funny.
It's so funny.
Now, has she seen the 30 different versions of this song, like for every holiday?
Well, it's in every language too, isn't it?
Yeah, but they do different lyrics for holidays and whatnot.
I did not know that.
I know. Be glad you didn't know that.
She actually scans once she gets sick of Baby Shark. She sees the songs on the right and she starts scanning. Mm-hmm. Hits one.
Oh my
boom.
God, really?
Yeah, and if she hits a commercial, she's like wildly hits the, you know,
the spot,
5 seconds.
The spot where the 5 seconds. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
She starts hitting the skip
babies
button.
Already know about commercials?
I was humiliated. Because just because, you know, I'm so slow on the uptake with this stuff, and here's this, you know, 20-month-old kid
who's swiping
exactly
away commercials.
What she's doing. Oh boy, there's no commercial that appeals to her. She immediately knows if it's a commercial and wants out.
See, I told you before, Charlotte likes to watch the commercials on shows.
Brooke has no patience.
They can
for
never hang out together.
None. Zero.
Well, I just tell her you can't see. Well, usually that's if we're watching them on TV or whatnot.
Brandon, what do we have for, should we call the Area 51 Hotel?
Right now, there is a small town in Nevada. I believe it's called Rachel, Nevada. And they are
the former DJ from
DRQ. Wait a minute, there's a
isn't
place.
Rachel Nevada.
She worked on the Mitch Albom show.
That's right.
Yeah, I know Rachel.
So we're going to call her.
Where's Rachel?
Rachel Nevada. Where is Rachel?
Yeah, where's Rachel Nevada?
Does she work
in
at
the
Enterco?
World is.
I don't know where she is, but the town is close to Area 51. And
yes.
And right now, Area 51, obviously there's this new internet sensation where we're going to storm it. And it's really picking up steam, at least online. Well, members of this community, and it's a very small town. Maybe even 100 people live there.
Rachel, Nevada is a small town?
Yes. And they're being bombarded with these people who want to flood Area 51.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the idea of the post was, if we have enough people, we will storm Area 51. We will get all the aliens and see them and look at everything they have in Area 51. Because people, you know, are nuts when it comes to aliens. And I have to admit, I'm kind of interested if they stormed it. I want to see what they found. I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, they're going to get shot at, but...
What's the date for that, Brandon?
It's in September, right? Let's see.
Yeah, give me the date, because I'm going to try and book a room.
Yeah, you might want to just...
Rachel, Nevada.
It is Friday, September 20th.
Okay, Friday, September 20th. All right, let's call the hotel. Apparently, the hotels... There's only 375 rooms for rent within, like, 20 miles, I think.
Wow.
So, of course, they're getting bombed. Started with phone calls.
Imagine how much they can charge for those rooms now.
Well, that's what I thought. But they sounded annoyed.
Yeah, they're basically saying that there's too much activity. This thing's gotten way out of hand.
Oh, come on.
But the name of the hotel is the Alien Hotel.
The what?
Alien.
Oh,
Alien.
That's funny.
I'm just hoping... Because they're saying they're getting so many calls, they don't shut their damn phone down.
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, baby Shark,
do-do-do-do-do. The last person on earth I ever thought I'd hear sing.
Well, I know. I wasn't playing it either.
I got music for the phone
call. I was doing this, too.
Yeah.
With Brooke.
Isn't that great?
That's a ripoff of When the Shark Bites, though.
And Florida Gator fans. Baby shark. Baby shark. Hello. Hello.
Baseline, man.
Alien. Mommy shark. Mommy shark. Mommy shark.
Alien.
Daddy shark.
They hung up because they heard this song.
What?
Yeah. Can you imagine them receiving a phone call and it's Baby Shark? With
well, how could they hang up on Baby Shark? I would think they'd start doing the...
What a bizarre phone call to receive.
Isn't there an alien song, like a We Are All Aliens or something?
Yeah, Illegal Aliens.
Phil Collins. For, yes, thank you.
Genesis.
Driving me nuts.
It's no fun being an illegal alien.
Oh, and an alien in New York.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Oh. See, they're not even picking up.
Yeah, I was just calling. We're calling from Detroit, the Drew and Mike show, and we wanted to interview you about all the requests you're getting for your rooms there at the Ailey Inn. We called earlier, and you might have been put off by the Baby Shark song.
Sorry about that.
Play that one. Baby Shark. Baby Shark. Please call us back. We'd love to talk to you.
I'm sure you will.
Hey, I did get two.
Is there another hotel, Brandon, that's nearby?
Yeah, let me look.
All right.
I did get two celebrity numbers sent to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do we want to try them?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, I really want to talk to Charles Rogers. Bad!
That's one of them.
Let's try one more hotel, and then we'll try for Charles.
Actually, that is the only hotel in that area.
Hey, what's the police on
about? How about the next nearest one?
Next one, Trudy.
An alien in New York? What is the sting song about that?
Oh, an Englishman in New York.
Oh. Yeah, well.
Oh, I know there's more alien songs. I wonder if they crank this down at the southern border. It's no fun being an illegal alien.
I think I'd turn around. This is racist.
Can you believe we're still talking about immigration? Oh, my God.
It's kind of the same problem. It's just how it's being sort of...
I just feel like
I am turned up on it.
I feel like we're two countries now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really nuts.
I've never gone this far into the song. It really kind of sucks now.
There's supposed to be, the hook's really good though. There's supposed to be like 375 rooms within 20 minutes, I think. So there's got to be another hotel.
It's the only one in that town. I'm looking.
How about what's near? Is there a nearby town?
There's no nearby towns.
Really?
None. That's why it's Area 51.
Well, then let's call Chuck Rogers. The Chuck. The Chucka. I heard he just paid the Lions back.
The last we knew, he quit the job, right? The car. Yeah. What was he doing?
Was it detailing?
I think so.
Or auto body?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice bounce back from
football,
the NFL, and eight kids he can't support.
You know what this is, right? All guitar.
Oh, but turn it down. I want Chuck Rogers to talk to us. Who is that?
Satriani.
Charles. This is Eric. How can I help you?
Is Charles there, please?
I believe you have the wrong number.
This isn't Charles Rogers?
No, this is Eric Bowen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. This was allegedly the phone number of former Detroit Lion and Michigan State University star Charles Rogers, the wide receiver.
Oh, okay. No worries.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty cool, though. You might have his old number.
Okay.
I don't know why, but...
Well, you... right.
Well, thank you anyway. Sorry to bother you.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the joker that gave you that number, Mark?
Probably that guy. So we'd call him.
All right, should we try the other alleged number, which will also not be his number? Although you never know. This guy never does interviews, does he? Ever?
No, no. But I think our end would be talking about the Sox.
He's still selling socks? Is he still selling socks?
Yeah, I think.
Are they selling?
I think his mom bought the company.
Underwear. Oh. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Rob, is that you?
What's that?
I can't hear you too well. Is that you, Rob?
You got the windows down?
I'm on speaker. What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. It's the Drew and Mike Show calling in Detroit.
Hello?
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Good. How you been doing?
Well,
we've just been hearing about your amazing transformation, and I wondered how it was going.
Wait a second here. Do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, Rob. Rob K.
Kardashian?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, is this still happening? Wow.
Oh, you have his old number?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I ended up with his old number, and I've been getting calls ever since.
Did you ever get calls from, like, Black China?
I got one call from her the day that he put her out, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody posted his number, this one, on Instagram, and my phone started blowing up that day.
No.
And she ended up calling me, and she's like, is this Rob? I'm like, no, who's this? She's like, Black China. Oh. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, no, this is not Rob. She goes, click. She's just hung up on me.
You should have called her back and asked her out.
No, you know why? It was a no caller. It was like, I couldn't, no caller ID.
Ah, okay.
And, Yeah. I didn't even know who it was. But I answered it, and it was her, man. It was good.
Was it kind of fun answering all those weird calls?
You know what? Yeah, man. I actually got I got to talk to Ryan Seacrest on 102.7 Kiss FM to share this story with him because he couldn't believe it either. I had Dan Stan from the Denver Broncos. It was amazing. One Saturday morning, I was going through some shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I received a text. Hey, bro, I know what you're going through, man. Hang in there. Everything's going to be fine. And I'm like, oh, my God, how did this person know I was going through this? I'm like, shit, this hit home. And so then I'm like, thanks a lot, man. I'm talking to him. Then I come to realize that, wait a second. Who are you talking to? And then I realized this guy's from the Denver Broncos, and he meant to send it to Robert, but it meant for me, though. It was meant for me because I got his old number. And the way that I got his old number is such a synchronicity. Like, it was so meant because of the way that it happened. And you know why it happened?
Why?
Because shit happened.
Hmm.
My T-Mobile phone bill got too expensive, and I fell behind, and I'm like, shit. And you know what? I've always wanted to use Apple anyway. So I went to AT&T and got an account to get the Apple phone, and boom, there's Robert's number.
Wow. Hey, so
you know what I mean?
Hey, let me ask you this. When the Broncos guy called you and you said you were going through some stuff, were you splitting up with a girl?
You know what? I've been married for 25 years. Mm. I have 6 children with my wife, and it's been such an amazing roller coaster of a relationship that we're twin flames. We are here to challenge each other and grow. And I actually wrote a book. I'm a published author of published author of The Positive Truth about humanity.
Who published it?
And Jerry Roberts, Black Card Books.
Oh, cool.
I'm just wondering what it was that you had in common with Rob Kardashian that the Broncos guy was referring to, if it wasn't too personal.
That we were going both through transformation.
Oh, I see.
You see?
Heavy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a story behind how I became positive man, the most positive man of the universe.
You sound really positive. I was going to ask you, though, who else called you? You said Ryan Seacrest called you and Black China called you. The Drew and Mike Show, of course, called you. Any other big names that happened to ring you up thinking they were getting robbed, like Kim or Chloe or any of those people?
You know what? I received some texts, and I wasn't sure who it was. You know what I mean? But they were all like, hey, what do they call them? They call them Big Fam or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And hey, I hope everything's fine, you know. It was all encouraging, really, messages.
Are you kind of surprised that all these people reached out to Rob Kardashian?
I'm surprised they're still reaching out to Rob Kardashian, you know, and I still have the number. Hmm. But, you know, it's everything happens for a reason, and I truly believe that. Check this out.
I don't think so.
The reason why, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything. Ask me your life story.
Listen, there are universal laws at play, just that there are physical laws. So you're telling me that the law of gravity somehow sometimes stopped for some people?
I just don't think everything happens for a reason. Not everything.
Well, it's cause and effect. The laws of the universe are cause and effect. You know what I mean? And so, therefore, nothing could ever happen without a cause.
Wow.
And so it's not by chance. It's no coincidence. And I'm a living proof. And I'm living proof that synchronicities are the, you know, when you come into an alignment with who you are and your purpose in life, you begin to synchronize your life, and things start happening where you're like, wow, you know, magic starts to happen.
Huh. I guess I just haven't gotten there yet.
Hey, what's up with your phone? Why does it sound like you're standing next to a waterfall?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, if you got so much synchronicity happening, it seems like you'd have a better phone line.
Yeah, okay. What are the university
about
laws
now?
About that terrible
phone?
Do you hear me better? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, did you like it better with the noise?
Well, I was driving. I was being safe.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want you
but
to
I
be
just,
not
But
safe.
I just pulled over. I just pulled over and, you know, and took it out of the speaker.
Can you tell us why your car is so loud? What is that universal law? Where does that stem from? Because your car is really loud.
I do something called Uber karaoke.
What?
Really?
You got a lot of things going on.
Uber karaoke, my friend.
What songs do you do? What's your favorite song on Uber karaoke?
Baby Shark? I like to sing Someday by Sugar Ray.
Oh. Okay. Sing it. I want to hear it.
Wait, I want to ask you, do you do any classic rock?
Yeah. I do, I like to sing Cheap Trick. I want you to want me.
Where's the music? Where's the music? I thought you said you did karaoke.
It's unplugged.
But yeah, but I don't have an instant, you know.
Wait, we have it. There it is.
There's Beck. Okay, sing.
I want you to want me.
Crank it, Mark.
I need you to need me. I love you.
Is this the Boyce Avenue version?
Oh my goodness, this is not the right version.
You know, it is.
Even he knows.
What version
that?
Is that, Mark?
I don't know. It's one on Spotify.
What's your first name?
Oh, you like the live version. That's why.
Oh, yeah. This is a live version. You love that. Why. Like Maddie, Brandon's daughter, loves the live version.
Right?
My name is Ricardo Aguilar.
What is your name?
What's your first name?
My name is Ricardo Aguilar.
Ricardo,
I'm the
okay.
I'm the one that's going to be responsible for helping to clean up Los Angeles.
Cool.
Oh, man,
comes
Cheap Trick. He's got too many things going on.
Need you.
Go, Shooter.
You need me.
Crank it.
I love you. 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 I love you.
Is there a delay in the phone line?
It's a universal delay.
Shut up, open shoes. Put on a brand new shirt. I'll get her up from work.
Say
if you say that you love me.
This is the good part.
Didn't I crying?
Oh, I'd give you 5 stars.
Ricardo.
I know you feel like dying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Job, Ricardo.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Ricardo.
Thank you very much.
When you pick up a rider for Uber, like, how do you know they want to hear karaoke?
Well, here's what I do. It depends on the time of the day, of course. Okay, but check this out. The other day, I picked up somebody from Zuma Beach. I was in Woodland Hills, and Uber drivers don't get paid to pick people up. And so it was 12 miles, 15-minute ride. Ugh. It was 2:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
And I accepted it. Of course, I never say no. When I get there, it's a nice older couple, white. They're going to West LA, 30-something minute ride, and we're karaoke-ing to country music the whole way. Ugh. It was an incredible, along PCH. At the end of the ride, it was a $32 fare and a $60 tip. So $92 for that one just hour.
Wait, $32 for driving 12? How far did you drive for $32?
From Zuma Beach to West LA.
And how far a drive is that?
It's like maybe 25 miles.
Oh, okay.
So 30 something
okay.
minutes, right? Yeah. But,
that's fair.
But it was amazing because they enjoyed the karaoke so wow. much that they gave me a $60 tip.
Wow. Is that the biggest? Is that the biggest tip you've ever had? I mean, considering the fare?
Yeah. $60, yeah.
Nice.
That's not bad.
Oh, would we come to California? Will you pick us up?
No.
We need his number.
Absolutely. You know, my car is lit up. I have lights and everything inside. It's almost like Catch Cab.
Wow. We knew another guy that did crazy stuff. He had like lasers and he had a disco ball and he had smoke machine.
Yeah.
That was like the something taxi was in. Was in Vail, Colorado? Or no?
Oh, that's right.
Aspen, Colorado.
Well, you know, it all got started last year when, where was it, Halloween, and I decided to decorate my car and become a vampire and decorate it inside with webs and spiders and everything, and people would come in and I'd say, good evening, my friend, welcome to my haunted Uber.
And then people got out right away. I'll take a lift.
No, listen, it was epic. My first night when I picked
the
somebody
ultimate
up,
taxi?
It was
epic.
Dark at night. It was in a rich neighborhood, and it was a mother and his her 6-year-old son. They just got out of a costume party. And picture this. This is epic. I have a Kia Soul, and there was lights underneath the car flashing everywhere, inside and everywhere. And then you hear, dun 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 dun. Who are you going to call?
Ricardo.
I pull up, and the whole party came outside, started taking photos, Snapchatting. And the kid had the ride of his life.
No, was it epic, though? I mean, you said epic. That's a strong statement. I think
epic.
You're prone
to
strong statements.
Well, it was epic. It really was. It was okay. My first, you know, and to give it a gift, it was a gift to this 6-year-old. It really was. Huh. You know, it was the most memorable Halloween for him, I think. You know, going home, you know what I mean? And being able to karaoke to, because we were karaoke to all this Halloween music.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's amazing, Ricardo. Listen, we got to run along. We got some other calls to make, but we so appreciate your time and your attitude's incredible, and I wish you the best of luck, my man.
Thank you. So, you know what? I don't even know who you guys are.
My name's Rob Kardashian. I want my phone back.
No, it's it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit, and you can listen to yourself back on our show.
Oh, when is that going to air?
It'll be uploaded soon. It's a podcast.
Oh, it's a podcast. Okay.
Yeah, just Google Drew and Mike, and you'll find it.
Drew and Mike.
And
fantastic.
Play it while you Uber.
Hey,
all right, man.
Bye. Yeah.
Thanks, Ricardo.
Thanks, all right. Guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Stay positive. Now you hear?
Yes.
All right. I'm trying.
Bye.
Probably a better guest than Rob Kardashian, I would imagine.
I was just thinking that. I'm glad we got him instead of Rob.
Brandon's got some other Area 51 hotels, but what about the Ultimate Taxi? Is there a good...
I can't believe how much he charges the Ultimate Taxi.
Oh, I know.
Job is the
$60 for 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'll call him. I got his phone.
We had him on the air at Riff.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I rode in the Ultimate Taxi.
I know.
You rode in this one here?
Yes.
Where?
He's got keyboards and he's got all this stuff. It's like, how does he drive?
Yeah, it seems like that's the definition of distracted driving.
Yeah, and there's a lot of lights on the outside. No, look at that.
Oh,
look at
my
that
God.
Madness.
Oh, my God. I would not get in if I'd been drinking.
I think what happened in the call, though, was that we were questioning. He'd invested in some real... I think his wife had said, do you really need to buy that? Because he was spending a lot of money on making the inner part of the taxi so incredibly cool.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to be paying off as much as he anticipated.
Well, he's still doing it.
I know. No, he's into it. Oh, there's his guitar.
Wait, what about, remember, Taxi Dave? The black and yellow cab rap?
Well, oh, yeah.
We called him. Dave. We had a great
yeah, he
time
was cool.
With Taxi Dave.
Ultimate Taxi Guy.
Hi, I'm Taxi Dave, a self-employed yellow cab driver in downtown Sacramento, California.
Oh, wow.
I want to invite you to come visit Sacramento, California.
He's got a Madonna
California,
microphone
because,
on.
We've been added new bars, nightclubs, hotels, restaurants.
In Sacramento.
And there's a lot of tourism with the state capital.
Get to your whatever.
Museums like
Ultimate Taxi Guy's a little sensitive to criticism.
You know who I am. I'm Taxi Dave.
Let's try one hotel, Brandon.
Black and
Brandon.
Yellow, black
the
and yellow cab.
The Atomic Inn?
Yeah.
How far away is it?
Uh-huh. You know who I am.
Right, enough, Dave.
And everything I do, I do is big.
Right, so taxi drivers had to get personality when Uber was created, huh?
Check out the map here. Now, I'm very zoomed out. This is Nevada. This is, you know, desert.
Okay.
Now, Area 51 is right in the middle here, and the alien that we could not reach because they're getting bombarded with. They're just shutting out their phone. They're the closest. But if you look down here, there's a few other hotels.
What's the big city there?
See what
where
the rates are.
Goes?
There isn't. That's why it's Area 51.
No, but isn't there a big city nearby that everyone goes to that has the festival?
The balloon festival?
But Roswell's way far.
Roswell, yeah.
This is way east.
This isn't far from where they blew off nuclear bombs in the...
Oh, that's true.
In the late, the mid 40s, I think.
The biggest town around
New Mexico,
there
wasn't
would
it?
Be Henderson?
Yeah, I think so.
What was the town in New Mexico?
Is it Roswell?
The Atomic City or something like
that?
Nevada?
I think
it was Nevada.
It? Yeah, they built a whole city, and all these scientists moved there, and they came up with the atomic bomb.
And then they used to test them in the desert, and the downwind from a movie they were making with John Wayne, and they speculate that killed him.
It was pretty fucking cool.
Really?
It was cool, though.
It was cool.
It might have been worth it. The Duke lasted a long time after that.
The Duke did.
The Duke, who's now canceled, by the way.
Oh, he's racist.
Yes. He was... What was the Duke all over? Oh, he didn't think Black should be in management or should be running studios.
They take his name off that airport, yeah.
That's a good question. Should we call them, too?
Speaking of which, the MTV Awards are finally thinking about taking Michael Jackson's name off their Vanguard.
Slow down.
I predict a lot of backlash.
Yeah, no, his name's not leaving it.
Jacksons will sue.
What's this hotel called?
Atomic Inn.
I think this is the
Atomic
Inn.
Okay.
Wait, Atomic Inn? Well, then I'm using this.
Good evening, Alamo Inn.
Oh, Alamo Inn. I was trying to reach the Atomic Inn.
The Atomic Inn? Well, where's that?
I thought this was the number. Did you change the number recently?
Maybe that's in Rachel, Nevada, huh?
Okay. Listen, this is the Drew and Mike show. We're calling from Detroit, and we're kind of fired up about the September event with Area 51.
Right.
And I wondered, are you getting a lot of, are people reserving rooms like crazy for that week in September?
We are booked for those 2 days.
Did you upcharge?
I have no idea what he did.
Oh.
Okay, if I wanted to get a room, let's say, the 2 days. So you mean like the 20th and the 19th? You're all
we
booked?
We are booked on the 19th and the 20th.
Okay, if I booked on
if you want to find out more information, go to alamoinnevada.com.
No, I want to talk to you.
Yeah. Oh.
You're friendly.
Hi. Can't you just tell me, what's a room cost me on the 18th or the 17th? What would you charge?
How many people?
Two people.
How many beds? One or two?
Two beds.
Two and two. With tax, it's $59.85.
Oh, wow.
You're not upcharging, though. You should be charging triple that because there's so much demand.
Well, that's the day before.
That's our price. I don't know what he did for certain days, however.
Can I talk to the marketing department?
He is not here.
He's not there? Okay.
What do you think is going to happen when all these, you know, people show up? Because it's not just your hotel and motel. Everyone kind of around Area 51 is booked. So what are these kids going to actually do? Do you think they're going to go there, or they're just going to find some place and party?
Probably a little of both. They'll probably party right there.
Is there a lot of camping around there?
No.
No?
Is that basketball hoop still up in the parking lot?
It's still here. It's cool. By the laundry room.
Hey, Mark, how are the reviews for the... for the Alamo Inn?
They're not bad. I think 4.5 stars.
Wow.
Or 3.5, I'm sorry. Really, I'm bad at math.
Yeah.
Now, being a local, have you known people or individuals who've been busted trying to break into Area 51 in the past?
Tourists.
Yeah? Does it generally end pretty badly, or?
I haven't heard anything.
I think they let them in.
Have you ever been up there?
No.
Oh. What's it like?
Do you think
need to go check it out then, I guess, right?
I will when you guys replace these tube TVs with some flat screens.
We have all flat screens.
What? You need to respond
update
to
the website. Where's the marketing department?
It's
I'm
Trip Advisor.
We have all flat screens in all the rooms.
Well,
and we paint it all our rooms.
Wow. And $59 is all you charge?
That's a deal.
Now, if I bring my two dogs, will you upcharge me?
It's $5 for each pet.
Okay.
Wait, I can bring a pet, but I can't smoke in the room?
Right.
Hmm. That's for the protection of the pet, as much as anything.
Right.
Do you think there's anything in Area 51? Are you aware of any...
activity?
Possible aliens in there?
Oh, you know, you always see and hear weird things.
Well, tell us what weird things you've heard.
Oh, just noises. But I always hear noises. You know, no.
Have you ever seen... Have you ever seen light?
I always see weird lights.
Oh.
I like to race them down the highways.
Now, were you alive or anywhere near the nuclear bombs that were detonated in that area when that happened?
How long ago was that? Let's see.
That was a long time
50s.
Ago. You'd have to be in your 70s, I think.
Oh, boy, I'm real close.
Are you?
No.
Ready for a bomb?
minus 10 years.
Okay. Yeah, because we heard that the detonations killed John Wayne. He was in a set nearby. Apparently, immolated, yeah, and it was kept private by the government. It was put in some secret file.
Find a lookalike.
Never seen him again. Mm. There was a lookalike that was in True Grit and some other movies.
That's why they named the airport after him.
Mm. Looks totally. Right. Turned out the lookalike was racist.
You guys come down, you know, I'm going to have a lime green Uber.
What?
For rent.
Do you do karaoke in it?
Yeah, maybe.
If you know a bar. Just hire the
Well, listen, I am going to give the Alamo Inn a high rating for all your improvements since you guys won't put up fresh pictures on the internet and the marketing department is failing you miserably. But it sounds great, and I will consider.
Have to tell
him. I will consider booking. Yeah, please talk to him about the marketing.
I will.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling. Have a nice day.
Bye.
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 Let's call it John Wayne. Let's call it John Wayne Airport. You think they've changed the name? I don't think they have.
No way.
Oh, they probably answered John Wayne.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, we'll find out real fast.
Of course, now we know it was a lookalike that was racist.
That's true. It wasn't the real Duke. He's been vindicated.
Oh, boy. The picture of this hotel, by the way. Yikes.
The John Wayne thing. It's so funny how fast that was like, outrage! And he's like,
and
what?
Ended.
John Wayne? Who's that?
Because there's something new to be outraged about.
Always. Oh, my God. There's so much outrage right now. I can't keep up with it all. I'm outraged at the outrage.
I am too.
Is there an outrage du jour lately? There hasn't been anything, really, has there? I mean, outside of politics.
Are you serious?
Well, outside of
Baltimore?
Trump. Outside of Trump.
Oh, okay.
Come on, there's always going to be outrage with that.
Yeah, okay.
I spent with like somebody like John Wayne who's been dead for 30 years.
You want to call the airport?
Or 50
yeah,
years.
Absolutely. I'm outraged.
I don't know where this goes.
To the airport.
John Wayne.
Let me see my main number.
International.
Thank you for calling John Wayne Airport.
Oh!
Press 1 to continue.
Shouldn't that guy do an impersonation of John Wayne?
Yeah.
Or at least say Pilgrim or something.
For general terminal airline and parking information, press 1. For lost and found, press 2. For airport administrative offices, press 3.
There you go. Mash it.
For airside.
They offer a number for lost and found?
And baggage.
If you know the employee's 5-digit extension,
oh my God.
Press 1.
Boy.
To locate
Lord.
An employee by name,
oh
press
God. Who
2.
Would know an employee by name?
For the administrative office receptionist, press 3.
Receptionist would be up on this. And, hello?
John Wayne Airport Administration Office.
Is this the airport named after the actor?
John Wayne Airport, this is Kyle. How may I help you?
Hi, Kyle. This is the Drew and Mike Show. We're just calling to find out, is this the airport named after the actor who made all the racist comments back in 1970?
It is named John Wayne Airport after the actor.
Okay,
yeah.
And he made all those racist comments. Are you guys renaming the airport? Because it sounds like it's still named the John Wayne Airport, and a lot of people are outraged and stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Let me, if you want to speak to someone, I'm just a front desk receptionist, but I think we have like a dedicated staff who can talk to you about your concern.
Okay, are you angry? Are you angry about it?
Me personally, I don't want to comment. That's not really my place.
Well, yeah, it is. You work there.
Yeah, you work there. It's your place more than anyone's
place.
You're
the first person that we talked to. You're the face of John Wayne Airport. It should be named Kyle Airport.
It's an option if they change it.
Kyle's Airport.
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard that John Wayne didn't like this airport, actually, so it's ironic that it's even named after us.
One more reason to be named Kyle Airport.
Oh,
Do people complain, or is that just something that came and went? Because there was
fake.
Outrage for about 2 days, and then I never heard anything more about it.
You're the first. I heard of a few calls that we had, but you're the first for me personally.
Okay.
But again, I don't have like information on that.
I see.
Again, I can find out real quick if you guys do want to speak to somebody.
That'd be cool.
Hey,
yeah.
Kyle, is there less traffic through John Wayne Airport than there used to be, or is it the same?
You know, I've heard, again, I've only heard because I don't, like, work with those numbers personally, but I think it has been going up. But, I mean, a little bit. But
so racism,
like, what?
Racism seems to help business?
Racist flyers go through
there. Well, it's...
racist names seem to help airports.
Yeah, I don't know if it has any if it has anything to do with that. I doubt it.
Okay,
but yeah, let me find out for you who
you
can speak with.
That's great, Kyle.
Yeah, one moment.
Appreciate it.
What a great guy. They should name it after him.
All I can think of when I hear Kyle is George Carlin just going off on people named Kyle.
Oh yeah.
K-Y-L-E,
music is terrible.
Turn up the whole music, please.
This will be the hold music when they rename it.
Kyle, Kyle.
Aspen's Ultimate Taxi has 640 Facebook likes.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Kyle?
Hello. I'm going to transfer you to Joel Aguilar.
Wait, Kyle, we just produced a song about you. Hold on, listen to this.
Listen to your song.
Kyle.
That's pretty good. You guys are talented.
Yeah, we didn't know enough about you to add anything else to it.
You guys are talented. How insincere was that?
Well, you don't sound very impressed.
No, he laughed.
No,
he liked it.
I can't. I'm not musical, so that sounds pretty good.
Well, here, I just made another one.
Because I am awesome. My name is Kyle. And I'm really, really awesome. If you don't believe me,
check out my airport.
Just listen to what my backup singers have to say about the subject. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome. Yeah.
What do you think?
Like it?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on a radio show or something.
You are. It's the Drew and Mike show.
Wow, Kyle's astute.
How about this one, Kyle?
God, another.
Kyle Poop. Kyle. Poop.
What do you think of that one?
Oh, that's kind of weird.
I don't know about that one so much, let me try for you guys.
Just stopped while I was ahead.
Kyle, it's okay. We're gonna move on. We just wanted you to hear our great songs, and I personally am. I favor the first one.
What about this one? That's the new one.
Yeah, me too. I like the first one better.
Wait, well, wait till you hear this one.
In the whole wide world, sing it.
Do you are my best friend. Do you are my best friend. Do
it's not enough about Kyle.
Best friend in the world. You're my best friend in the world.
Oh, Kyle, you're such a great person.
Wow.
I really like spending time with you.
You still like the first one best, Kyle?
You're so smart.
Well, I like that one, too.
You like
that one,
too?
That's a good way to end the note.
All right, buddy.
She's trying to get off the phone now.
Have a great day, Kyle. I am, too.
You, too.
We'll see you, man.
Bye, Kyle.
All right. Bye-bye.
You are my best friend in the world. You're my best friend in the world.
Now, Kyle, you know as well as I know.
What a total joke, by the way, this whole remove John Wayne's name from the airport.
I know.
I'm looking at change.org, and 88 people have signed the petition.
88?
88.
That's not a big change.org.
So why was that a story?
Because outrage is our national pastime.
That's true.
I'm going to start one to put Kyle's name on the airport. I'll get more than 88.
Outrage, millennial stories, that stuff's all clickbait.
It is.
That's pretty embarrassing. Sure.
I think a lot of these outrage stories are just bullshit.
Yeah, for sure. Just to keep people riled up enough, you know?
Well, half the time, people aren't that riled up. You know, and going back to the comedy discussion, when you watch a show and you go, oh, there's one little thing in there that certain people would just hate. And you play it for them, people who'd never go to the club, never watch the performance, and they go, oh, my God, I'm so mad. That's not – comedy is for people that want to see comedy, who aren't easily offended and like going to comedy clubs to watch people try to be funny.
For the entire experience.
Yes, who will succeed or fail on some level. And the idea is not, you know, is the most controversial joke they make, how much does it upset the people who are most likely to be outraged by it? That's not the measure of a joke that's bad or is awful or should cancel someone.
Gosh, you're all making me so mad!
I mean, there's context in comedy, and usually the context is, you know what, I want to get some good laughs, and this guy's probably funny, so I'll pay $10 and I'll go. It has nothing to do with people that aren't at the show!
I was outraged.
Who didn't pay for it? Who aren't supposed to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're not really a nuanced society anymore.
No, not too much. The Bill Gates tweet today, I don't know if anybody saw this or heard about it.
Has he tweeted in a while?
Gates, you know, I'm not sure how much tweeting he does, but...
Melinda does it all, doesn't she?
She probably does. Yeah. We have people, though, who are so active and so interested in what...
Are you talking about the email? Are you talking about the email someone sent about Bill Gates?
No, they sent me a direct message on Twitter.
Ooh. There's a great email about Bill Gates, too, and a review he left on Amazon.
Well, that's what the tweet was about.
Yeah,
it was... Bill Gates was talking about how he and Melinda like to read books together, and occasionally someone gets ahead of the other person, which is obviously him.
Her.
He didn't mention it was always him, because he can't say that, or Melinda will just blast him, or she'll probably burn the book and he won't be allowed to read it. But apparently he got ahead of her in this book, and something happened to a character, and Bill Gates started crying.
What?
And Melinda became extremely concerned because she thought a character... that she was reading about was something bad was going to happen to them. And so Melinda was upset.
Why do we fucking
so
know this?
The point is, because Bill Gates reviewed the book and mentioned that, you know, they read together. And when someone gets ahead of someone, of course, it's rarely Bill, because Melinda certainly is faster reader as anyone in the world.
Or has more time.
But in this case, Bill happened to get a little bit ahead of her. Was so moved by what happened to this character that he started bawling. And then Melinda thought that her favorite character died. And so there was, you know, I guess there was outrage in the household. But it just makes Bill Gates sound so soft. Why is he crying about a character that in a... It's a fiction book, obviously. Come on, Gates. Toughen up.
Got a little estrogen going on.
I know. And then he's like doubly worried because his reaction is going to impact Melinda in her reading of the book, because she's a slow reader, apparently.
Well, she has to do all the things in the house.
Did my favorite character die, Bill? Damn it, why are you crying? Are you crying again because I don't get enough credit? Ugh.
I hope he's all right. Is he okay?
I think he's okay. He was able to review the book anyway.
Hmm.
How far in are we, Brandon?
I think we're 2.5 hours.
Are we okay?
I think so. We just got to do a little manipulation to the audio due to that DTE.
We've talked to a lot of people.
All over the map.
Despite all that.
Made some stuff happen. It wasn't easy.
No.
Power issues. And certainly plenty to talk about. Okay, well, why don't we... hit the outro. We'll close the Hall Financial Hotline. By the way, Hall Financial, click the link on our website, fill out the online form, and they will get back to you pronto. If you want to save money on a refi, if you don't want to save money on a refi, if you don't want to save money, do not click the Hall Financial link. Don't ever do it. And don't go to drewandmike.hallfg.com either, because that's a way to save money on a refi, or buy your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, or maybe one of them. Shorten the length of your loan. Whatever the many things Hall Financial would love to do for you, and they do it fast. 44 days industry average for a refi. They do it in 19. They are fast, fast, fast. So, thanks to Hall Financial. Also, the DealsInTheD.com studios is where we are. DT made it very difficult today, but I think we're going to get a show out.
She persevered.
And... I noticed I was checking the podcast ratings today. We actually went up to number 233.
All right.
I think it's because we didn't have shows for 2 days, though. It seems it's weird. It's like if you do less shows, your rank goes up.
Oh.
In our case, whenever we have a show off or a week, I know. What is that? nice algorithms. So, yeah, we're actually number 233. Which
it increases demand.
Topher Grace was down to 145, I think, so it was a good day for me.
Topher Grace is at 145?
Trudy, Topher Grace was at, like, number 29.
Oh, that makes
because they told you were listening to, what's her name, Anna Faris's podcast, and it was Topher Grace's podcast to fake people out into listening to it.
Oh,
It was, like, number
why?
It was way up there, and it was around 80, 90. I'm like, oh, it'll never go down. That's going down, hopefully. So, it made my day. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow with Thomas A. Mazoway.
Hey, man, this is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Drew and Mike podcast in good old Detroit City.